very good evening, our most beloved and honorable guest, Brother Teo, who is going to be our Dhamma speaker for tonight. Uncle, aunties, brother and sister Dhamma, Namo Buddhaya. Very good evening to you all. It's a very, how should I say, welcoming for our local Buddhist center to have my Kayana Mitras to come all the way, yeah, from Kuala Lumpur to share with us the Dhamma. Yeah, so okay. This is us. I was suddenly being asked to do this, okay? So what happened is, let me share with you how do I get to know Brother Teo, yeah? I know Brother Teo since my university days. Yeah, I go to his house, Brother Srian's house. And what I find different between Brother Teo and the Sangha members when teaching Dhamma, because of his sharing is more on worldly, how should I say, worldly stories, worldly expressions. So the words that he used will hit your heart more, how should I say, easier. Yeah, I don't know, for me, it was just, I can just easily accept whatever Dhamma he wants to share. So it was when I got to know that he's coming, I think last week, yeah, when SGB came, Brother Srian came, he said, Brother Teo is coming. I said, wow. I will request him to come and give a Dhamma talk, and that's where he acknowledged and allowed to locate, because they're actually planning to come for one day treatment, Brother Teo. That's one day treatment. So I requested Brother Srian, if can, possible to extend a night and to give allow the members of our local Buddhist center to at least experience what I've experienced. I think now I'm already 36. 15 years back. That was very long, yeah? I was still a young boy. And why am I now is also what Brother Teo has shared. So I hope whatever Dhamma he's going to share with you all, with us today, will be able to touch your heart, yeah? And I think, especially when we come to a Dhamma talk, when given by Sangha, we tend to be shy, we tend to be, how should I pull back, you know, or we have this blockage, you know, that, oh, it's a Sangha, respect, but, you know, but we wouldn't dare to ask questions, you know. But Brother Teo, he's a very simple, nice, friendly man. He's like a... yeah, he's very ready to answer any questions, yeah, from meditation, yeah. Many of you who have this problem where you can't meditate for long, you're pushing yourself too much, you must ask Brother Teo how his group does meditation. Yeah? So relaxed. Because one thing you I learned from Brother Teo is whatever you do, you must do it happily. You don't force yourself. When you force yourself, you are hitting the wall, and that's where you can't progress. Yeah? So with this, it's 8 o'clock. I would like to request, Brother Teo and maybe another two more Brother and Uncle Aunties to do the offerings before we start our Dhamma talk, right?
Yeah, we can have a short puja, a very simple puja. Okay, Brother Teo, Pamasuri, yeah? Help to light the candle. There are two candles. Oh, you got four. So what about you and your mom? Come, join in. No, you and your mom. Don't worry, you're centered. Don't worry, your mom cook very good food for us today. So it's... No, don't worry. Don't worry, Jayanta. You and your mom here. We all here. Okay. That's why I leave it to you all to decide who. Okay. Yeah, you do decide. Sadhu. Yeah. Oh, sadhu. Oh, I never knew. Just a visit to Malacca and now having affinity with you people. It's really a blessing. Sadhu. Okay, so I don't know how you all conduct your puja, but what I will do is I will do the simple one. we will chant the Namo Tassa three times, salutation to the Buddha, homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Then we pay our respect. Then after that, we will chant the Namo, the taking of the three refuge, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami and other things. Then after the three refuge, we renew our precepts. Then we rejoice. Then after that, we can have our formal sharing of the Dhamma. Okay, are you ready? Yeah. So prepare yourself, develop the faith, the sadha, the virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja. Okay. Dr. Jayanta, are they familiar with the Thai tradition, Arahang Sama Sambuddha? Oh, okay. Then I will start with the Arahang. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadattana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax yourself. Relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. Then develop the faith. then we can begin our Dhamma sharing. First of all, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, especially Aloka Center devotees. And I would like to first of all thank you all, especially Dr. Jayanta and the mother for inviting our group over to have this evening of Dhamma sharing with you all. And I actually also didn't know that all this are happening, because to go back a bit further and add on to what Dr. Jayanta briefed you all, actually we had very long encounter. Like Jayanta said, he knew me early. Then later on, he came and joined me in, I think, some of the spiritual trip and activity. Then I remember him making the request. He said, "Pratibhati, I'd like to invite you over to our Aloka Center." I said, "Where?" "Malacca." "Oh," I said, "okay. You got condition, I will definitely make it," because he was very sincere. And he used to tell me he liked my sharing. We were very easy to understand. Not so much of the technical term that you normally heard, but it's the explanation of all those Pali words and the technical Buddhist terminology that is not easy for most Buddhists or cultivators to grasp or understand the full meaning. So when you have the ability, then you will cultivate Dhamma differently. You will do it with understanding. And like I used to share too, if you cultivate Dhamma and you don't find joy, you don't find peace and happiness, then definitely something is wrong with your cultivation. After you cultivate, you go out, you still get angry. You still get unhappy over minor issue, over life problem and situation. Then definitely you have to check how you develop the cultivation. If it's according to the Buddha, you should be peaceful, happy, full of joy, full of understanding, full of love, full of compassion. Then you have wisdom. You would have awakened to a certain very important teaching. The Buddha called it insight knowledges. And when you have them, you are no longer deluded. You will become totally different. And this teaching of the Buddha is very unique, really very unique. We first of all need to ask ourselves, who is the Buddha? So may I know what is your understanding of who Sakyamuni Buddha is? Yes, very good. Fully enlightened one. What does it mean?
Awakened.
What does that awakened, fully enlightened mean? That one is more important. Well, a lot of people will tell me the teaching that the Buddha teach, life is suffering. I say, are you sure? The Buddha never say life is suffering. The Buddha say the first noble truth. He explained very clearly about the noble truth of suffering. He never say life is suffering. He said life is full of suffering, but provided you don't have the wisdom or the teaching he teach, then you suffer. If you know his teaching, there is no suffering in life. Suffering need not be. That's why in the third noble truth, he said enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Then in the fourth noble truth, he even teach you how to do it. He said there is this path, Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. When you no longer suffer, means you already have the enlightenment, the awakening. That's why the Four Noble Truths are the essence of his teaching. Very beautiful. Then, like I always ask people, who is the Buddha? Some they say, the fully enlightened one. Like our sister said, then the nine great virtues. Itipeso Bhagava, you always chant it. But that deep meaning within is very important. First, he is not only an enlightened being. Like our sister said, he is fully enlightened. But what does fully enlightened mean to you? Anybody want to try? You have your answer in your Theravada Buddhism. What did the Buddha Sakyamuni did after he saved the mother from the shipwreck in one of the Jataka stories? He vowed to save the limitless living being, you remember? Because when the shipwreck, he realized he can only save his mother because it was in the ocean. And he saw so many that were with them in the ship perish. And he made the determination. He planted the seed of Bohi, the Bohi mind, the thought, to save the countless, limitless living being in this universe. That's when he took the Bodhisattva vow. He cultivated the 10 perfection. You heard of the 10 perfection, isn't it? The 10 paramitas. And when he perfected that, you know what does that mean? Means he is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened because he has perfected all of wisdom and virtue. So you can say the Buddha 2600 years ago underneath the Bodhi tree when he became fully enlightened, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. Now you understand. Why is he the wisest? Because he perfected all wisdom. And he is the most virtuous because he perfected all virtue, the 10 perfection. That makes him a Sammasambuddha. And because of his perfection of wisdom and virtue, he can teach you this very special teaching which he summarized into just 4 noble truths, which is the essence of his teaching. And these noble truths, 4 noble truths, they are called noble truths because when you understand this teaching, you become noble ones. You know what is noble one or not? I better write it down. Because sometimes my pronunciation, you all may not be familiar. So you look at this word, noble truth. Four noble truth. So this word noble is very important. Means these are not ordinary truth, not even ultimate truth that people use to teach you. To the Buddha, he said, if you understand this truth, you can become noble ones. Who are the noble ones? Who are the noble ones? Arya. Yes, very good. So noble ones are enlightened ones. Or they call Aryas. So this word noble is very important. Why did the Buddha call the enlightened being Aryas? Why noble? Why not wise one? There is a difference between wise and noble. You can be wise, but you may not be noble. But most wise people are noble. You understand? That's why you look at the Noble Eightfold Path. It has all the 8 very important path factors that make you a noble one. So noble one or enlightened one are very noble in all aspects of life. First of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is what? Right view. Right understanding. Means he has wisdom. He understands the nature's law that governs life and existence. And the 3 spiritual law that the Buddha taught under right view. Right view in regards to law of karma, law of mind, law of dhamma. He called it karma niyama, chitta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So when you have right view with regards to these 3 spiritual law, you actually have the wisdom, the understanding of life. That's why he's teaching the 4 noble truths. Is actually the secret of life. When you understand this 4 noble truth, you understand the secret of life. So this one can be equated to the secret of life. life. Why is it called the secret of life? Because when you understand this noble, four noble truth, you understand life. And when you understand life, you will know how to live life. Can you follow? Yeah? You know why this four noble truth is called the secret of life? Because the Buddha is so wise, he can summarize to you all of life, mundane and supramundane, all in just four noble truth. So we come to the first noble truth. What is the first noble truth? Just now I already warned you. Correct. There is a noble truth. There is a noble truth of suffering. There is a noble truth of dukkha, is it? The Pali word, which is the correct word, is dukkha. So this is a noble truth. When he said noble truth means when you understand this truth, you can become noble one. You can become enlightened. That's why under the four noble truth, you heard of the three turnings or not? Three turnings of the four noble truth. Yeah? Three turnings. Huh? Never. You know Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta or not? That is the first sermon here. Go and read that sutta. The Buddha said, not until he had understood the four noble truth in its three turning and 12 mode. You know why 12 mode or not? 4 times 3 is 12. He dare not proclaim to be the enlightened one. You can read, it's inside the sutta. And the sutta starts with telling the five ascetic. You have to avoid the two extremes. What are the two extremes? Self-mortification and sensual indulgence. And this is his opening statement. And a deeper meaning is to transcend duality. Yeah. So the noble truth, the four noble truth, sometimes they also call it the middle way, the middle path. That's why the noble eightfold path is also called the middle path. It's because of that. When you cultivate this noble eightfold path, or what they call the meditation as taught by the Buddha that will lead to the enlightenment or end of all suffering, you have to understand if you don't avoid the two extremes, you cannot cultivate. He failed for 5 over years, almost 6 years, following all various teachers and striving so hard himself. He went through the most diligent self-mortification, and he did everything, but he wasn't able to realize the enlightenment that he wanted. So finally, even when Alara and Udaka, the last two teachers that honor him as equal and invite him to come and share the teaching with them as equal, he said no. He still haven't realized what he wants, despite all the jhana that he was able to accomplish. So what happened was, he went on his own. The reason why he did that was because when he was a prince, he had all the good life. The father provided him everything, the four palaces for the four seasons and all those things. And do you know why he decided to renounce the world at the age of 29? What did he see? The four signs, very good. What are the first three signs? Old age, sickness, and death. And that is related to the first noble truth. The Buddha says, this first noble truth explains to you the reality of life and existence. Realities of life and existence. He said, there are eight realities in life. When you go through life long enough, you will encounter them. And this eight reality, as proclaimed by Sammasambuddha Sakyamuni in his first sermon, is, he said, when you confront this eight reality without wisdom, without his teaching, you will suffer. And that is the first noble truth. Means prevalence of suffering. At the first four, he said birth, old age, sickness, and death. When you confront them without understanding, you will suffer. This one easy to understand, isn't it? Yeah? Easy or not? We are not young anymore, isn't it? You have experienced the misery of birth, isn't it? That's why with birth come what? When you are born into this world, what do you experience? Huh? Joy. You have to go through life, isn't it? You have to experience dukkha until the day you become enlightened, isn't it? You awaken, isn't it? So that's why with birth come old age, sickness, and death. And without wisdom, you will suffer. As you grow old, how do you feel? Your senses are failing you, understand or not? And how do you feel? You're not like before, understand? I want to do what you can. Now cross the drain also, be careful. You dare not jump like last time. You go up staircase also, whole railing. You dare not take risks because we are so fragile, so vulnerable, so easy to get into trouble, especially as you age. Then as you age, you don't inherit those good things that your parents They always ask, when your parents pass away, what do you inherit? I got one brother, my eldest brother. They came to know he didn't inherit anything. Well, my father only gave to the two sons that need money. The rest of the children he didn't give. But my brother told people, yeah, I inherited a lot. My father's high blood pressure. My father's diabetic. My father's other type of illness, you see, genetically, all this thing. So you see, when you age, you don't inherit good things. You inherit all the things that people who grow old tend to have. Sometimes traumatic disease, no need to say. Sometimes dementia. You heard of dementia? It can be pretty scary. And do you think you are ready with the Dhamma you have now to confront all these things? Not many people. Or I think very few people are ready. Then the worst is death. Can you really understand death? What die? Who die? And what is death? After death, what happened to you? Fear of death is very common. So this reality, the Buddha knew, not easy. That's why he saw the first three signs, old age, sickness, and death. He straight away, he wanted to find the answer to life. He said, what his father has given him has got no meaning now. All the sensual pleasure and all the good life. But he said, finally, I cannot escape this tree. Because the attendant that actually took him out explained to him, this is an old man. He said, what do you mean old man? He said, everyone will become old. Not only you and me. Everybody, as you live long enough, you become old. Then he knew he has a problem. Well, when he get old, you mean I will be like this person? So weak, so fragile, and so sick. Then later on, he saw the dead person. He said, how come this person cannot talk, cannot move? And what are they doing with the body? The attendant says he's dead. What you mean by dead? Everybody need to die, you see. You also need to die. So the Buddha immediately, the Buddha to be, Bodhisattva, immediately knew he has a problem. Well, he cannot overcome getting old, getting sick, and die. Well, he thought this form of mind is him. That's why he feared getting old, getting sick, and die. This is what prompted him to search. And despite all the jhana, he knew he still had to grow old, get sick, and die. That's why he's not satisfied. he does answer. That's why he meditate on his own underneath the Bodhi tree until Sujata offered the milk rice. Then he saw the sign. Then he asked for the sign, and the sign came. Then he saw that bowl that she ate the milk rice. Remember? He threw it down into the river. What happened to that bowl? It flowed upstream. It's against the stream. That's why the first stage of enlightenment is called what? Stream enterer. Sotapanna. So he straight away has the faith, and he knew he was destined. That's why he made the vow, the aditan. He said, not until I realize full enlightenment, I will not arise from that seat, even at the expense of this body, with this, whatever, everything dry up also, he won't arise from that seat. Such strong affirmation, determination. That's how he broke free. And because of the condition at that time, he knew. A few weeks before that, he decided to eat again. That's why he knew. This way of self-mortification is not going to help him to realize enlightenment. He remembered when he was very young, the harvesting festival, when he went into samadhi. His mind was so clear, so calm. He was so innocent. And he was well fed at that time. That's why he went back and take his food. After he went back and take his food, the five ascetic left him, thinking that he is not serious anymore. But then he realized the enlightenment. That's why after that he went back and looked for the five ascetic. Then the five ascetic at first rejected him, but finally they were able to listen to him, because he was so different now. They see the aura in him, the confidence in him. Then the Buddha reminded them, when have I ever told you that I have realized enlightenment? Even during the time when I was striving so hard, I never say that. But now I really, really realize the full enlightenment, and you people cannot understand. And didn't even want to listen. That's why after that they start to listen to him. Then they realize he was so wise. So he explained this first noble truth, the reality of life and existence. The first four, we already know. No matter who you are, how wealthy, how successful you are, you cannot escape from birth, old age, sickness, and death. So what the Buddha is trying to tell you is, you can be very successful materialistically, materialistic-wise, the mundane successes. You remember this, the one that passed away, what is his name? The very famous, the iPhone one. Who was it? Steve Jobs. 40 years old only. You know? And finally he realized, don't go and sacrifice your life for all the wealth, because it cannot buy back life. So if you have this understanding, then you will know worldly success is not enough for you to have the good life. Do you understand? That's why you must have both. Worldly and spiritual. Worldly means mundane. And the spiritual, which is supramundane. So when you have these two, it's complete. Then you will have the good life, the happy life. Your life is complete. So this spiritual understanding is very important, spiritual success. I got this seminar book, which I delivered at the international seminar in Bangkok in the year 2013, August. But my girl didn't bring, because she ran out of stock. So next time if you were to EPJ or what, you can come to my place and ask for it. It explains very clearly all this teaching that I am sharing with you. But in a slightly different manner, because that is a seminar paper that I deliver I was given time limit, is it? So that's why I deliver it differently. Yeah? But that book is very good. And you can also go to my website. Yeah? You go to this website, brotherteo.com. You just type in brotherteo.com. Yeah? You Google it. Yeah? You go Google. Then you will see my Kayarmita website. So I started off the my Kayarmita group. When I came out to share, I didn't want to name it after a society or what, because I feel that this Kayarmita ship concept as explained or proposed by the Buddha is very good. The Buddha told Ananda, he said, Kayarmita ship is 100% of the holy life. And one of the prerequisites for enlightenment is to have noble friends. You know what is noble friend? Huh? It's Kayarmita or Dhamma friends that has the Dhamma. They are called noble friends. We are noble ones, are enlightened ones. So you go to this website, the seminar book is in the e-book and also in the soft copy. It's a book. You can click on it, you can see everything. There, all my talk, all my transcript are there. So you don't have to really, really write notes or what. Because they are all there. Yeah? So you listen attentively, more important. Yeah? Then these are recorded, you don't worry. We will WhatsApp to Dr. Jayanta, and you can take your time to listen, and it will be downloaded to our website too. So you pay attention, listen. It will benefit you. So the first noble truth, the Buddha called it the reality of life existence, means all of mundane life, reality, is in this truth. The first four is already common to all. Yeah, but as Chinese, you all know, we all, our forefather, I won't say our generation, or what, very pantang one. Last time you talked to them about death, chui, don't talk. But now different, as Buddhists, we knew death is a certainty. And we have to really, really diligently cultivate to understand what is death. Who died, what died. And you know how the Buddha became enlightened? Underneath the Bodhi tree, he awakened to the Four Noble Truths. He connected back to his past cultivation and he inherited all his perfection and wisdom. That's why he came to know. He said, no wonder people cannot understand. Because he said, this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, is not real. This one is not him. This one is dependent originating, condition arising, karmically conditioned out for us to come to this world as a vehicle and a tool. And if this is not me, that's why he teach anatta, non-self. He said, the five aggregate is not real. Empty, impermanent, lead to suffering. That's why it's non-self, not real. He started out by saying the form, which is element, got no knowing, go the way of nature. How can this be me? You understand? It's only element. Without the consciousness, element, go the way of nature. How can this form be you? Then he asked again, feeling. Is feeling really me? You always say, I feel. I feel pain. I feel miserable. I have fear. When you meditate, how do you develop the understanding? When you have this thought telling you this, means you have attachment, you have self-delusion, you have not understood what meditation is. Meditation is very simple. The Buddha said, under his teaching, when you meditate, you just relax, silent, and aware. When you're aware, you will understand. Feeling come and go. True or not? You experience them in there. when you have very good meditation, what happens? You have very calm feeling, right? Good feeling. You experience piti. Then sometimes sukhang. Then sometimes peace. Then after a while, what happens? When you cannot maintain it. Restlessness come back. Pain come back. The five mental hindrances come back. Then what are you doing? Yeah? You say, my meditation no good. Because you think the restless mind is you. Because you think that fear is you, that anger is you, that pain is you. That's how you label it. The moment you label pain, 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 what happened? Yeah? What happened? Pain is what? You think the pain will go away? Pain is a negative emotion. You understand? And what is the first two mental hindrances? The five mental hindrances, the first two. What are they? Sensual desire and? And what is sensual desire? When you attach to that sense experience. And what is ill will? When you don't like that sensation. That's why when you label it pain, it becomes a mental hindrance. And yet you don't know. And yet people teach you to know. And you label. Then what happened to you? You create mental hindrance. And what is mental hindrance? Mental hindrance are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot break free from pain. And sometimes they try to endure until they fainted. They collapse. If you have your past, you are lucky. Yeah? Like what I went through. The consciousness shift, I flash through, then I understand the whole thing. Yeah. But actually, you don't need to suffer this way to understand. Always remember, yeah? When you go to retreat, yeah? Don't be rigid. Find out for yourself how best you can do it. You don't go and force yourself without understanding. Huh? I use the word without understanding. Because you go to retreat not to suffer, understand or not? Not to become miserable. You go to retreat to train your mind, isn't it? To develop what? Mindfulness, awareness, a relaxed state of mind that is peaceful, aware, silent, with a lot of joy, happiness, that can allow you to have the clarity of mind to meditate, to awaken. That is what meditation is all about. If you go there and torture yourself and make yourself miserable, then what for? Understand? So this part is very important. So what the Buddha realized was, feeling come and go. So how can feeling be me? True or not? If the good feeling passed away, did I die? Did you die? Pleasant feeling passed away, you didn't die there. That unpleasant feeling arise, also passed away, you also didn't die there. Then how can feeling be you? That's why feeling is impermanent, non-self. Anatta. Every moment of perception is the same. One perception, seeing. You perceive something through your seeing consciousness. It be the Buddha image at the back. Then hearing consciousness. You perceive the vibration, the music, the sound, or whatever. Then you can perceive what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel, and what your thought create. Perception keep on changing, come and go. Impermanent. When perception ceases, did you die? You didn't die. That's why the Buddha said the five aggregate, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana, they come and they go, they are impermanent. And when they go, you didn't die, means they are not you. So feeling is not you. Why do you cling on to those feelings? Why do you say, I still have anger after so many years of vipassana? You understand? I still got envy, jealousy. The Buddha teach meditation differently. He said there are five ways to overcome unwholesome state of mind, like the mental hindrance or whatever, when they arise. You heard of the five ways there? What are the five ways? Like, let's say anger arises or fear arises. What do you do? The four right effort, what does it say? The first right effort is to abandon the abandon what? Unwholesome or wrong thought that has arisen. Understand? And what is the unwholesome wrong thought? Got evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion. Correct or not? One of them is your anger. Delusion is your fear. The other one is your lust, your craving, your desire. So, right effort to abandon. How to abandon? There are five ways the Buddha teach. The first way, when I say it, you will understand. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. You heard of this, isn't it? You heard of this or not? You haven't heard of it. You go back and check. When you have anger, that's why they teach you how to do metta, understand or not? When you radiate love, when you have metta, you cannot be angry. True or not? True or not? When you got cruelty, you develop compassion. And you cannot be cruel anymore, isn't it? But you are so compassionate. You can't even afford to see people suffer. Or people getting afflicted by whatever. And you help them. And when you have love, when you have compassion, you can never be selfish and cruel. You have selflessness. Then the second way is, the Buddha said, think of the consequence of allowing this negative thought or unwholesome thought of anger and fear to stay in your heart. These are evil roots, understand or not? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They are root of all evil. They make you evil. And sometimes they call it the three poison. You know what is poison? Poison kill you. They don't kill you, maybe physically. They kill you spiritually. Understand? Your spiritual life is gone. How can you cultivate with mental hindrance and evil roots in your mind? That's why you have to abandon it. So when you think of the consequence, my life, I don't want to have this evil root in my mind. It will cause me to be evil. It will kill me spiritually. And my karma will fall. Understand now? That's why you have to have all this understanding. But this first two ways the Buddha teach you is to reflect, to contemplate. It's still thought-based. It's not the meditative way. The meditative way is the third way. The Buddha says just aware. Aware. Don't do anything. Don't try to control the anger, suppress the anger, which a lot of people who don't understand do. They teach you all the various methods and techniques to control, suppress, and even focus, create energy field and all those things. Yeah. Or just push it aside, suppress it. Don't want to get angry. Yeah. Anger is a evil root. I must not get angry. Next time he disturbs me, no matter how, I yan. And what is yan? Tun luna means you suppress your emotion actually. You didn't root it out through wisdom. So the Buddha said, if you don't meditate, you can never understand that anger is not you. That emotion is not you. That fear is not you. But the question you might ask yourself is, before the fear arise, there was no fear there. Before you get angry, there was no anger there. So how can anger be you? Means anger is a conditioned arising state. Understand? It comes about because you have problem. Because you have wrong view. When you see somebody you don't like, your views, your opinion, and your perception of that guy, or through your memory, you reacted and get angry. That's how you get angry. Through your wrong view. And you never see this in your meditation. But when you relax, aware, and silent, without the wrong thought, the anger will cease by itself. You'll just let it be. It will slowly, slowly dissipate. And it will cease. Then you realize you are peaceful again. Understand? But the moment the thought comes back, you cannot do anything to it. Because it is a condition, arising state due to your wrong view. So meditation is to go through this, the third way. Relax, aware. and don't do anything. That's how you should meditate. And the analogy that the Buddha gave to Ananda is, he asked him to collect water, you remember, for him to drink. You remember? First time he went was murky. Why? Well, a lot of blockade passed through. Second time he went, still got blockade, still murky. But the third time he came back with a lot of joy. He said, "Oh Lord, I managed to get clear water for you." And you know what the Buddha asked Ananda? What do you learn from this? That's why don't do anything. All the dust will settle down on the sarah. When the bullock cart go over with the wheel to churn it, you know why it become murky? That is your sankhara thinking, stirring the mind. Because your original mind, your true mind, is silence, stillness. You understand? That's why relax, silent, and just maintain awareness or sati. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Don't try to be aware. That trying is by the thought. The thought is active. How can you be aware? Just relax and silent. Don't think. But you will think. You know why? Because you don't have the five spiritual faculty. And the five mental hindrance arise because the Buddha say you don't have the opposite five spiritual faculty. The five mental hindrance, you're all familiar, isn't it? You're familiar, not? Sensual desire, ill will, and? You only know the name, sloth and topper. What is the meaning? Lethargic mind, sleepy mind, understand how? That, yeah, lazy, because it's lethargic. Like you attend a lecture, you don't understand the lecture, and you got no interest at all. What do you feel? You feel sleepy, isn't it? Yeah, you can't follow, you can't learn, but you don't see the importance of Dhamma. Understand? You don't see how wise the Buddha is. You should have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. Why? Because he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. To have such a great teacher, I tell you, you must have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. And his teaching can develop such wisdom and understanding to awaken your mind and free you from all suffering, and is given to you free. Why can't you just cherish it and use it? Why do you still refuse to act? I really cannot understand. So this teaching is so beautiful, and is the only free lunch in this world. No charge, nothing. It's given to the world and humanity, living being free. So when you understand this, you will tell yourself, my life, I'm going to make a difference to it. From now onward, I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then I'm going to strive on the heedfulness to cultivate this teaching. So that me too can awaken and free my mind, so that I don't have to suffer. Then when you can free, then only you can help others, be a blessing to others. If you yourself can't free, you can't teach people. You can't help people. No way. Then the beauty of this teaching is, when you understand, it really transforms you completely as a human being. You not only no longer deluded, you can become enlightened. Means personality-wise, character-wise, wisdom-wise, you are completely transformed. That's why I say noble ones are called enlightened ones, because they are very noble in all aspects of life. First is right view just now. We went through already that. Second one is right. Right view will condition right thought. If you don't have right view, there will be no right thought. Because that thought is according to you. Good according to you is not the right one. Well, you are not enlightened. You are deluded. Good according to you is not good. That's why right view will lead to right thought. And thought condition action and speech. You agree or not? So right thought will condition right speech, right action. So they are very noble in all aspects of life. Not only they have right view, they understand life. They know the secret of life. And they really can arise the right thought, the virtuous thought. the kind thought, the gentle, pleasant, wise thought that can bring about love, compassion, respect, gratitude, contentment, sincerity, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, and bring about harmony to the world, and bring about blessing to the world. Then you will know how to act. Act with what? Act with the right action. Right action means you keep your precept. You don't kill, you don't harm, you don't cheat, you don't deceive. You don't do anything that is negative, that will give rise to suffering to people. You don't misappropriate people's things. Then you will have right speech. What are right speech? Because you are so noble. You are very noble in the way you communicate with people, not only speech. Now WhatsApp also, you have to have the skill, understand or not? Means right communication, I will use the word. Speech means you must arise gentle, pleasant, good speeches that bring about harmony, understanding, that can help people, free them from their suffering, their misery, their fear. And this is right speech, understand or not? As opposed to the four type of wrong speech. That's why don't speak harshly. Don't backbite and say negative things about people. Don't tell lies. Don't speak frivolously. Whatever you think is a joke, you just speak frivolously. I tell you, it can hurt people's feelings. But they are not enlightened beings. They may not be like you with the number. So you have to be very noble in all these aspects. Then the next one is right livelihood or right living. I call it right living. Because livelihood is a very small part of right living. The way you live your life, you have to be very noble in all aspects. Then you must have the four right effort to constantly purify your mind. Abandon the unwholesome thought, the wrong thought. Then second right effort to prevent it from arising. The third right effort is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Have you done that? And the fourth right effort is to refine upon it and perfect all this right speech, right action, and right thought. This is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Then you will have right mindfulness. You are ever mindful. You are very sensitive and you have clarity. You can see things as they are. You can awaken. You have direct knowledge into the reality. You can see things as they are. You can insight into truth, into phenomena, and awaken to the three characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature or existence. All this, you will have the ability that you have already completed the Noble Eightfold Path. Then from the right sati, it will lead to right samadhi. And samadhi is not jhana, please. But they are now trying to say there are two types. One type is wisdom jhana, then it falls into the right place. But if it's the energy field concentration one, that's why the Buddha went through all the jhana and he is not happy. He cannot find the truth. So that samadhi is actually collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. So you need that mind. Because when you live life, that's why daily mindfulness is very important. The Buddha said you must have sati sampajana, means daily mindfulness. And why is daily mindfulness important? Because without mindfulness, you cannot see your evil root. You cannot cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. You cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot even investigate into the Dhamma. That's why sati is very important. Mindfulness is very important. Then when your mindfulness stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the stability of mindfulness that is unwavering, collected. So in life, because your senses are active, open, what do? You have to see things, hear things, smell things, taste things, tactile feel, and think. And when you are actively engaged in life, what will happen to you? Every time you see something, what do you do? You react, like and dislike, pleasant. This is what the mental hindrance of sensual desire and evil is. And every day you do that, you know what will happen? It becomes habit. That's why they call it habitual tendency. So if you throughout the day arise mental hindrance or sensual desire and ill will, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then how can you meditate? You understand? How can sati come about? That's why all this, you were not taught, and you don't understand. So when you understand, then you will know sati is very important. If I cultivate until the daily mindfulness is so stable, then I develop samadhi. Then when I see something, you know what happened or not? The mind will not stir. Why? Because it's collected. It's unwavering. Understand? That's why you see things as they are. Not what your memory tell you. Not what your views and opinion and conditioning of mind tell you. Can you see that? You react because of your views, your opinion. Straight away you say wrong. Not like that one. That's why your mind is so conditioned and you never understand. And your views and opinion are so rigid, so strong. You don't have an open mind to understand things. Because you are not mindful at all. So to develop mindfulness, the Buddha said you have to start with sila. You know what is sila or not? What are the three stages? I can turn to the next page. Yeah? Or is this rubbable one? Huh? This one can rub one, isn't it? Huh? Cannot? Permanent? Okay. Never mind, I write here. Huh? Never mind, I write here. Sila, samadhi, and panya. This one you all know, isn't it? This is actually Noble Eightfold Path. The three way to meditate. And to expand on it, the Buddha add in dana, sila, and bhavana. So these two combined become bhavana. Understand or not? Actually, it's the same. Samadhi and panya become bhavana. Why? Because with samadhi, your mind is unwavering. Understand or not? Collected. That's why it can see things as they are. It can see the truth, the reality. Not what your brain tell you. Not what your conditioned mind with the views and opinion tell you. That's why Dhamma knowledge cannot insight into truth. You have to have the silent mind that insight and awaken. It's an awakening. It's an enlightenment. It's not knowledge. Understand? You cannot rationalize it. You cannot say, oh, this is impermanent. This is non-self. I know this is not me. That is not the Dhamma that the Buddha taught. The Buddha taught is when you meditate through the silent mind, through the awareness, you realize that all these five aggregates of form and mind, they are impermanent, lead to suffering, not real. They cease to be. So just now, I didn't finish the five ways. Eh? I told you until the third way, isn't it? Yeah? Develop sati awareness. That is meditation. Understand or not? So, if you can do that, let's say, every time you get angry or you have fear, then you have to come back to a quiet place and meditate and silent. You have to observe that silence until the silence come back, the original mind come back, like the blockad. When you don't stir it, means everything settled down, the water is clear again, understand not? Means your true mind come back to you. But this one has not rooted out the mental hindrance, you understand? The delusion that caused the fear and the anger. This one is just like the bulokka didn't disturb. Your sankhara didn't stir, understand? But the next time you go out and live life, you see the same guy, you still cannot handle. You still get angry, understand? That's why the third way the Buddha said is good for you to understand certain things. The anger is not you. Fear is not you. So that you don't be so deluded and so foolish. But then you still don't have the wisdom to counter them. Understand? At the moment of sense experience, what can I do? I still got this wrong view. I still got this habitual tendency to react. So how can you develop wisdom? That's why you must meditate. The Buddha said the fourth way. He said, develop what they call Dhamma Nupassana, the fourth foundation of mindfulness. mindfulness of Dhamma, and go to the third category of practice, mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. The six external sense bases are the sense objects that come in and make contact with your six internal sense bases. Yeah? You are not a meditator, you may not understand. Eh? But just listen, because it's recorded, don't worry. Upon contact, what happened? Sense data upon contact with sense bases. Feeling arise. Before feeling arise, what happened? I better draw you another one. So this one I can turn over. Later you turn back. You familiar with this physics experiment or not? Yeah? The light bulb, the switch, and the power bank. You familiar with that? Yeah? So let's say this is electricity. So when you make contact, what happens? The light bulb lights up, isn't it? What is this? You become conscious, understand? Huh? This power source is your consciousness or your mind. And this one is like your organ. Let's say eye. Yeah? Eye is one of your organs, isn't it? So upon contact, what is the sense data for your seeing consciousness? Sight is no different from no answer. Whatever you see is sight, isn't it? Color, shape. So when you see color, when you see shape, you can perceive it, isn't it? That's why I can see you. Eh? Sister, what, I don't know the name, but I know it's a lady, and it's in white. Then Dr. Janta, I know. Huh? So there is a shape there, isn't it? Then I can see color, isn't it? Like the pineapple, what color? So your sense data is color and shape, understand now, for your seeing consciousness. If no shape, no color, you cannot differentiate, you cannot see. So upon contact, this seeing consciousness, the lighting up, is like seeing consciousness. Is like seeing consciousness. Yeah, you suddenly have this ability to see. That's why the Buddha say you got five aggregate. What are they? Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Yeah? You know what are they or not? You know what are they or not? Rupa, you know, huh? Rupa is form. One of them is your physical form. The other second aspect is external form. Like this Buddha image. How do you perceive it? Through your seeing consciousness, eh? Understand? Huh? Then you bring this image into your seeing consciousness. That's why the rupa is still there. The mind agree are just Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. But this external form, yeah, so this one is the physical form plus external form. External form, you bring it in through perception. Perception bring the external form into your mind. That's why in your mental, there are still five aggregate. There are two aspects to this. First, as a human being, you have a physical body, then you have a mind. You have to ask yourself, what can your mind do? Your mind can feel. True or not? Pleasant, unpleasant. True or not? Huh. Then you can perceive things there. How do you know the Buddha image? How do you perceive my voice? Through your, of course, through hearing, my voice, but through your aggregate of sanya, perceive. You can perceive, your mind can perceive, understand? Then what is this sankara?
Mental
formation. Yeah, you know all the words, but you don't know what this is. Some even karmic volition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mental states. So many words. So which one is it? What is Sankara? That's why the Buddha always used this word. Sabbe Sankara what? Sabbe Sankara? Anicang, yes, very good. Then Sabbe Sankara? Dukkang. Then Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. He don't say only Sankara. Dhamma also Anatta. Means the mundane and the supramundane is also Anatta. So this one is actually all the English word that you use is not enough to describe. Mental state, mental formation, mental volition. Actually, this one is whatever your mind can do. Whatever your mind can do. Can do. It's Sankara, including Vedana and Sanya. That's why you study Abhidhamma, they will tell you Sankara got 52. Actually, 50 plus these two. That's why it becomes 52. And you know why the Buddha separate these two? Because this Vedana, you need it to cultivate the second foundation of mindfulness. Vedana Nupassana. And the other thing is also, upon contact, he says feeling arise. It's actually not only feeling. Upon contact, like you know, the consciousness arises first. Understand or not? I maybe finish this one. Yeah? What is this one? Vijnana means the aggregate of consciousness. But what does it mean? This is what your mind can do. You understand? What can your mind do? It can become conscious of? Conscious of what? You have your senses there, conscious of what? Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Can you follow? That's why you all know the words, but you never inquire what this word means. These are your sense door consciousness. And this is the one that can actually give you wisdom. Because upon contact, like the physics experiment, this is nature's law, isn't it? Do you need a God to cause seeing consciousness, to make you see? Do you need something inside there to make you see? You don't need it, isn't it? It's nature's law, like physics experiment. Upon contact, electricity flow, this one, light up. You become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So if you understand this, then the Buddha say, after that, feeling arise. But if you have studied Abhidhamma, you know what they will tell you. The seven universal arise. You know what is seven universal or not? Huh? Common to all consciousness. I don't blame you. Most of you didn't study Abhidhamma and never go into it. I also never studied. But somebody passed me the book. I read, I understand. Because I did the meditation. So this one, seven universal, means there are seven things that is common to all consciousness. And what are the seven? You will know. Yeah. It's all in my Heart Sutta book. You go and Google just now that website. Go to my Heart Sutta book. All the teaching is there. Huh? You don't have to remember anything. So what I want you to understand is, the Buddha's teaching is very unique. What time should I stop? I also don't know. You have to let me know. Yeah. Maybe I will summarize up, then you can ask me questions. Huh? I did finish a lot of things, actually. I only explained the first noble truth. Huh? Reality of life and existence. So now you know. Huh? The 5, 6, 7, and 8, I will explain now. The Buddha said, after birth, old age, sickness and death, the fifth reality is separation from loved one and prized possession or things that you hold on to dearly. Yeah, these are all impermanent, condition arising entity. When condition is there, it arises, like you own, you exist, like real to you. But when condition cease to be It was separate from you. How does separation occur? Like your loved one. How does it separate from you? Very easy, eh? When one of you die, it's separate, isn't it? Then when you don't die, you also separate, you know? How? Very good. That was relationship failure. Then not only divorce, when your children get angry at you, don't want to like listen to you and walk out of the house, separation or not. Then when you encounter nature's disaster, calamity, war, riot, you separated from your loved one. It can also happen, isn't it? So a lot of things, sometimes because of poverty at birth, you had to give up your child. Understand? That is also separate. So separation can be very miserable. Yeah. So that one is only loved one now. What about your prized possession? Your wealth, your property, your money? Yeah? How can it separate from you? Things that you hold on to dearly. How can it separate from you? During? Nature's disaster, currency crisis, economic crisis, you make one wrong decision, you lost everything. Then nowadays, a lot of bot tussle, everything. You may be the CEO, managing director. Next moment, they request for what? EGM. Emergency General Meeting. And they can vote you out, understand or not? And you can lose your position. Then, in life, there are a lot of things that can give rise to suffering. Especially during our currency crisis, you remember? 97, 98? Yeah, currency crisis. A lot of billionaire wipe off. You remember? With billions of their assets, overnight they become bankrupt and owe the bank a lot of money. And only a few survive. The rest all wipe off. So, this is a reality of life and existence, the Buddha said. Then the sixth one is what? When you are with people whom you don't like. Understand or not? Who are the people whom you don't like? The lady you know. First one is mother-in-law. But not all. Nowadays there are a lot of good daughter-in-law who appreciate the mother-in-law a lot. But last time, a lot worry about mother-in-law. The first thing they tell their husband is, I want to buy a house with you, stay outside. Don't stay with your parents. And a lot of these things going on. Then, apart from that, what else? Even the school, they have children. The bullies in the school, understand or not? They are subject to a lot of pressure from those people who actually bully them. So, sometimes gangsterism and all those things. I got a few cases that came and see me. Their children in the school, the parents were so worried. They were gangster there, drug addict there, all those things. And a lot of kids happened already. So this parent, you know what she did? They are Buddhists. They ground the children. No, boy, I'm going to ground you. I don't care. I'm not going to let you go out. So he forced him to go and attend 8 precepts. The boy. You think the boy listened to you? After that, the relationship erupt and become miserable. Then they don't know what to do. So finally, they found Sui An. And Sui An said, Lada, you better go and see Brother Teo. So they came to me for 2 sessions. I helped them out. Then got everything sorted out. You have to understand how to deal with all these things. Then divorce also a lot. Financial problem also a lot. Disease is the most. Depression nowadays also a lot, the young people. You know what is the, what they call, the next one, the seventh one, you know what is it or not? No. The seventh reality is when you cannot get what you want. When you cannot get what you want. You heard of this? What is it? What does the Buddha mean when you say, when you cannot get what you want, suffering will come to be? Means when you want things your way, understand or not? Which is not nature's way, you will suffer. So, can you give me some example or not? When you cannot get what you want means what? You have expectation, isn't it? So what is your expectation? Expect to be promoted. You didn't get. Then what happened? You become very unhappy. Suffering or not? Huh? Huh. Then you develop envy and jealousy. How come that fellow get? My colleague, everybody know he is so lazy, and yet he get. See? Envy, jealousy. No more noble eightfold path. But he still say, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a meditator. This is noble truth, so simple, yet you cannot understand. Then the other one is, you expect your boss to understand you, understand? You expect your boss to promote you, reward you, give you good bonus because of what you have done. But end of the year, after the salary slip come, same bonus, no increment, nothing. Then what you do? Your expectation is not met. What happened? Suffering, misery. But why do you do that? Because you don't understand life. Every human being is selfish before they are enlightened, including your boss. Always remember that. Understand that? Last time when in the university, I study what they call this very good paper. They call management paper. And under management, you got a lot of paper on. Then one of them is organization objective. The economic theory. My lecturer came in. He said, please remember, he warned us. Last time, the economic theory was loyalty to your firm and your company. The Japanese did that, correct or not? Now he said, if you do that, you are going to become miserable. Because that principle doesn't hold. Now is they should pay you what you are worth. Understand? When they need you, when you can contribute, when you are still young, energetic, capable, dynamic, that is the time to negotiate. I don't say demand. Negotiate for your package. If you don't even know how to negotiate for your package, this is not greedy at all. Don't be deluded. This is not being greedy or aggressive. You should pay me based on what I'm worth. Yeah, I can make so much money and contribute so much. Isn't it reasonable for me to just negotiate for my package? Fair or not? Okay, I put it the other way around. Easy for you to make the decision and answer me. What have you got to lose by negotiating your pay or asking for a reasonable rise? The worst case scenario is no, isn't it? True or not? You got nothing to lose. So why so shy? When it's time to request, request it. That was what I did. And my classmate also told me the same thing. He straight away told me, he said, all bosses, they think of themselves, they got no time for you. You go and talk to them, say, okay, I will look into it. But how long? He'll never tell you. Then when you remind him, okay, I will tell the accountant. You go and see the accountant. Accountant say, boss never call me in to discuss about your package. So what must you do? Go back to the boss second time. You know what I do or not? I will wait for the boss to call me. Understand? There are things to be done. Why should you be so hardworking? You are so hardworking until he think you got no problem. You're very happy with your pay. Understand? So, like I used to advise people, not sabotage this one. If you know that there are certain things that are not right in the company or what, don't be so hardworking as go and help them to solve and resolve everything. Then he think you got no problem. Then he said you don't need staff, you don't need a raise. Then you are very efficient, you are very good. And he has already paid you. I say let it fail. Let it fail means if they got a problem, they will run around. Then after that, the problem will go to the MD or the boss. Then he say, what the hell is happening? Then they will say, I don't know. Everybody also, I don't know. So who will he refer to? Yeah, you are very efficient. He will call me. And then when he call me, I say, You want me to look into it? What about the thing that we discussed? Oh, then he said, okay, I will do it for you. Straight away, he called the accountant. Okay, make sure you do it. When they need you, that is the time to remind them. Understand that? But politely, using right speech. Don't get angry with him, where he is the boss. So they say two rules. Rule one, the boss is always right. Rule number two, if ever the boss is wrong, refer to rule one. Understand? Okay. The seventh one, finish. The other part about expectation is a lot of people fall into this suffering. People who went through suffering, depression, they came and told me. He said when they suffer, when they go through the life reality, when they are hit, you know how their thought think and how they become depressed. They expect their brothers and sisters who are closer to them to come and see them, talk to them, support them. But instead, they only saw their close friend coming. Their own brother, sister didn't come. And you know what happened? They developed hatred towards them. How can my sister, last time I helped them so much, never even come when I have problem? People are selfish, understand now. So now what I'm trying to get to you is the answer to the fourth way that the Buddha said. When you meditate the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, he said, trace the origination factor. How did you become unhappy? How did you develop anger, fear, hatred, unhappiness, envy, and jealousy? It's true one. Through your senses, isn't it? True or not? When you see somebody whom you don't like, or when you hear something that people say about you because you think you exist, you react, you become angry, you got wrong view. When you recollect through wrong thought that your own sister, brother also don't come and see you, you suffer. So how are you going to break free? When I retrace the origination factor, it's through my senses. Because I couldn't restrain my senses. I got this wrong view. Habitual tendency, views and opinion and conditioning. That is how I behave, how I react. How I become what I am. How I become miserable. Suffer. So meditation is to reflect on this. The Buddha said, if you trace the origination factor, then you knew this is your wrong view. So the question you must ask is, why did I react? What did the Buddha teach? See things as they are. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Not what your brain tells you through the wrong thought. Means see things as they are. It means they are just the way they are, understand? Where you see things as they are, isn't it? So if you see that they are the way they are, means what? Selfish person will do selfish thing. Angry person will say angry thing. Deluded people will do deluded thing. Then I can be at peace, isn't it? They are just the way they are. Why should I get angry? Why should I become unhappy, miserable? Why should I develop the fear, the unhappiness? Then when I straighten my view, that's like straightening your view is one of the 10 meritorious actions. So straightening your view will prevent you from reacting, stirring your mind, and creating the sensual desire and ill will. So to do that, you must have mindfulness, to exercise sense restraint, and to have the initial wisdom through reflection and contemplation. That's like the four ways to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse all this through an understanding, through wisdom. Then the other thing that the Buddha mentioned is very important. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in your life, what are you going to do with your karma? You have to take care of karma, not accept, understand? You are born of it, here to it, conditioned and supported, and you are what you are because of it. No, you somehow don't want to take care of karma. That's why the Buddha's advice comes from this. How do you take care of karma? The Buddha's advice is what? Dhammapada, verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam. You always hear. Kusalesa upasambadam. Sachitta pariyodapanam. Etang budana sasana. Huh? You don't know. Not do good. The word is sabba papasa. Sabba is all. Papasa is evil. Akarana. All evil you have to avoid. Not only avoid evil. That is wrongly quoting the Buddha. Because evil, you can't afford to even have one when you are a real cultivator. It's not worthwhile breaking the karma, I tell you. That's why all evil is to be avoided. Cultivate goodness, wholesomeness. Huh? Then purify your mind. This advice comes from this law of karma. When you avoid all evil, you take care of karma like that. How do you avoid all evil? Keep the minimum 5 precepts. Understand or not? Not only 5. The manga 237. And you know why keep the 5 precepts? Nobody teach you. Just now I asked you to renew your 5 precepts. And do you know what is the meaning of precept? Panati pata veramani sikkhapada samadhi yami. What does it mean? The key word is, I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow beings. The Buddha said, before you are enlightened, you cannot do like a Christian, thou shalt not kill. You cannot. You tend to make mistakes. That's why he said, you undertake the training rule. Training rule is meditation. I train my mind to be mindful, to be aware of my mental intention, of my evil roots, of my intention to kill, to harm, because I don't have the wisdom, the understanding, the right view. I don't understand this law of karma. I think I can do what I like. Where you think you are in the position of power, authority. But the law of karma don't care how powerful you are. The Buddha say, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, evil will follow you. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, wholesomeness will follow you. And Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, what did the Buddha say? Mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chi. When you act, speak, and think with an evil mind, which has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, what happened to you? Suffering will follow you. Like the blockers wheel that follow the hoof of the path. So your life, I ask you this question. Do you want to be heedless? Do you want to act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil root? If not, you better cultivate. You better develop mindfulness. You better understand what constitutes evil and never do it. And why do we keep precept? When we say we undertake training rule to abstain from killing and harming, you must ask yourself, why did the Buddha say this? Who kill? Who harm? People with what? Who will kill and harm? Violent people, isn't it? True or not? Selfish people, isn't it? Deluded people, isn't it? That's why when you violate this precept, the evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion are all there. That's how your karma falls and you become evil. And when you kill and harm in future, when you're conditioned, people will kill you and harm you. Do you want that to happen to you? If not, you better abstain. You better keep your precept. That's why the Buddha, he administered the precept. You know what the monk will chant back to you? After you take the precept, what did the monk chant? Si le na. Si le na suganting yanti. Heard of this or not? Si le na boga sampadan. Si le na nibunting yanti. What does this mean? Sila is the source of? Wow, you all never learn all this. Sukhanting yanti means a source of joy, source of peacefulness, and source of spiritual wealth, the three things. Sukhinayan ti is the source of joy. You will have joy when you keep your precept. Why? Because I don't harm people. Understand? I don't cheat, I don't deceive, I don't commit sexual misconduct. I can sleep well. Understand? I don't lie. I don't arise all the negative speeches. I don't go and partake alcohol or intoxicant or drug or cause my consciousness go down and violate the precepts. That's why you can sleep well. Understand? So nowadays, when you get old, people ask you the three important things. Echia, ekun, ekiabo. Isn't it? If you got money, bechia, bekun, bekia, what for? Understand? Sleep also, eat also no appetite. Sleep also cannot sleep well, insomnia. Cannot walk around. Means lie down in the hospital bed. So they say, if you got money, you don't know how to use, you got two ways to use it. While you still echia, ekun, ekia, use. Understand? For dana, traveling, or whatever. Don't wait till you echia, ekun, ekia, only you use. So you lie in the hostel bed, also you use money, understand? So that one is fan tai lei you. You understand Cantonese? Omlecker people don't know. Kun tiao lai yong. Also use money. The hospital now, private hospital, not cheap. So all this is the reason why you have to keep your precept. Understand now? It's to avoid all evil. Then how do you cultivate goodness and wholesomeness? It's noble eightfold path. With right view, you cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And this is what the teaching is all about. That to purify your mind, you cultivate mindfulness. Stabilizing it to samadhi. And this is what you need to know. And this is what meditation is all about. Not what you think. There are a lot of things that you can develop your own understanding when you really, really have somebody who can explain all this to you. Okay, with this I end. Sorry to take so much of your time. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You got any question, you can still ask. The mic is with there. We have a wireless mic where you can ask questions. Well, I have a drink. I think 1.5 hours. I also didn't expect it to be so long. I thought 45 minutes to 1 hour, I wrap up. But Jayanta mentioned about meditation, so I got to add in the part of meditation. Otherwise, not fair to you all. I only come once a while. I don't know when will be the next time. But don't worry, the books are there, the website is there, you can follow. Okay.
Sukyoto, Brother Teo. So I like to ask question on the Paticca Samuppada.
Yes.
Travelings of dependent origination.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
You also talk a bit about it. Actually.
Yeah.
So through meditation, we will sharpen our
mindfulness. Yeah, you will see all the link.
So the way to out from this suffering is to break the link, right?
No. To develop wisdom.
Develop wisdom.
Because without wisdom, you cannot cut. I will explain to you. You go to Avijja Sutta. This sutta explained very clearly. It's also in my website. Avijja Sutta. No, never mind, never mind. You know what is Avijja, isn't it? Ignorant. The sutta on ignorance. What the Buddha say you need to develop is the initial wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. You heard of this word, huh? Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso manasikara. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So this is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. experience. This one I put short form. So wise attention at the moment of sense experience is what you need, the Buddha said. Under the Avijja Sutta, he said, the cause of ignorance, the nutriment for ignorance or avijja is the five mental hindrances. Just now I explained already. Your sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. Where you have these five, means your mind cannot meditate. Why? They are called hindrances. They hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. You understand? Of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then what must you do? You're not supposed to fight it, suppress it, or control it. You're supposed to develop the opposite five, the Buddha said, the five spiritual faculties. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. You understand? And you know why are these important? Because these are spiritual faculties that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why without them, you cannot overcome the hindrance. So the hindrance come about because you lack the five spiritual faculties. The first one is what? Saddha. Saddha is what? Faith. Not blind faith. Faith through understanding who the Buddha is, like I explained just now. He is the wisest and the most virtuous. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. And his teaching can bring about the understanding of life and awaken living beings. And when you have faith in him, it's because he is such a great being. That's why your gratitude, your respect, and your faith in him become unshakable. Where can I find a teacher of this capacity, this ability, who can summarize all of life to me under four noble truths? Oh, I didn't finish. I only finished first noble truth. Luckily, give me the condition to explain the rest. Second noble truth is what? Of course, the Pali word is samudaya, but what is the meaning of the second noble truth? Cause of suffering. So what is it? You only know craving, isn't it? You only know the three types of craving, isn't it? What are they? Kama tangha, bhava tangha, and vibhava tangha. And what are they? Kama here is sensual craving. And what is sensual craving? Craving of your senses, understand? Salayatana, yes. But you have to expand into it, understand? You have to do the daily mindfulness to see them. Understand? How does this kamatangha come to be? How do you react to sense experience? How come you got, when you see something that you have interest in or you like, how come there is lust? There is desire, there is possessiveness, there is covetousness, there is this wanting, the like and the dislike. How come when you see something that you don't like, there is anger, hatred, dislike? That's like pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Like and dislike are all the first two mental hindrances, sensual desire and ill will. And this is for you to see in the meditation, to understand what craving is. Craving is not just desire, understand or not? Not to crave for something. It can also mean craving to be and not to be. You know what is bhava tangha and vibhava tangha or not? Bhava tangha is craving to become one. That's why you only know the words. Nobody explained to you. How can you apply into daily life and how can you see in the daily mindfulness?
Want to be this, want to be
that. Means like in the office, you want to be promoted to become the CEO. Then when you reach there, you realize a hot seat. Understand? Because everybody wants that seat, that world champion. Everybody wants to be world champion. The competition is so intense. Understand? And if you don't keep up, there is only one champion. They never announce joint champion, or so far I haven't heard. Joint CEO or MD, I heard before. They separate your duty a bit. But champion and all those things, so craving to be, you think you will become very famous, you will have a lot of financial standing, status and all those things, when you become that thing. World champion or CEO or get promoted. But then when you go up, you realize it's not worth the money. You know, the pressure is stronger, understand or not? It's like a pressure cooker, understand or not? So you think all the boss reward you and pay you for nothing. They will squeeze every drop out of you, understand or not? And nowadays, they have this management by, you heard of this type of management or not? Huh? Fear and harassment. They put fear in you and they harass you to deliver. That type of money you want to take or not? That's why you must look for good boss with Dhamma that don't do this to you, because they don't know. When they do this to you in future, their karma is they will have bosses then also that also deal back to them. Understand or not? Give them harassment and fear. That's why don't do this to your staff. When you have Dhamma, you don't do that. You motivate them, understand or not? Then you reward them appropriately. But you have to tell them organization objective is very important. The organization must survive. Then only we can talk about reward and all those things. So during the early years of what? Motivate them. Then if you trust me, you work together with me, we build up the company, I will reward you. And that's what a lot of people do. They feel rewarded, not cheated. So this part is very important. I was trying to explain to you about craving to be and craving not to be. So I go back to that one. Craving not to be is when you know it's a hot seat. You actually don't want to sit there. But you also love the salary, the perk and the status. That's why you're reluctant to go. Your greed drives you. Understand or not? Your delusion drives you. So you work for money. When you work for money, what happens? You have to pay through what? At the expense of your health. Understand or not? Your stress. And all the, what they call, the time that you can spend with your family to do the thing you like in life and all those things. You cannot do. Because you have to sacrifice time. You have to sacrifice health. So, as a human being, when we go through life, we have to ask ourselves, our average lifespan is how much? 75 years old. Okay? Fair enough or not. Maybe you can live longer. But average, let's say 75. So for me, it's very simple. I divide my lifespan into three phases. First phase, 25 years. When I am born until 25, what do? We go to kindergarten, we go to school, we study, we maybe graduate, isn't it? So, academic. You go through life. And in fact, that is the happiest phase of your life. You really know how to live it. But then, at that phase, you don't have money, isn't it? Correct, no? You're very energetic, you got a lot of time, but you got no money. A lot of things you cannot do. So what you do? Second phase, you work very hard. Work like a horse. Work like a cow. Understand or not? Work for what? Work for money. So that is the motivation. Understand or not? So 25 until 50, you work and work and work and work. How long you want to work? For me, I don't want to work so long. Because at the expense of my health, my life, and my good family life, everything, why must I throw my health away? I got one colleague, luckily I went and helped him. He was a senior project manager, where I'm a civil engineer. He worked so hard, of course rewarded, until he almost got heart attack, admitted hospital. The heart cannot take it, too much stress. Then luckily the project was towards the end already. So my MD called me out and said, Tio, can you help? I said, can, no problem. And I went. And when I went and helped him, at first he felt sorry for me, He thought I would end up like him, He said, this is a mad place. I said, you don't worry, you leave it to me. And I not only turned it around for him, I claimed extra $40 million for that project, for my company, from 63 million to 107, 40 over million. The MD was very happy. He was very happy. Then he got to rest and he recovered. Then he came and thanked me. He said, Tio, thank you so much. I said, how are you? He said, now I'm very much better. If you have not come and take over, I would have had a heart attack. He said, Then, you know what he told me? He was 40 years old at that time. He was about my age, younger by 1 or 2 years old. He said, he got 3 children. He married late. And the wife all depend on him. If he had died, don't know what would happen to the family. Then he told me one word. No, he said, 整个青春都比较公司. You know what is that not? His whole, what they call it, what most effective life, the good years are, I don't know how you call Qingchun. Are you full years? He said, give to the company. You know why? He worked for that company from the beginning and the end. He never changed company. But he listed the company. They really reward him. But they say you work together, then you get listed. The boss really reward. My MD was very good. Reward him. And because of help. Then he realized, he said, luckily you came and you explained this to me. But I say, when you cannot take it, when the pressure is too strong, don't be a hero. You will die, I say. Because nobody can take that type of stress. But he doesn't know how to handle it, not experienced enough. And without Dhamma, you can't. So I turn it around for him. And a lot of these things. So when you come to the second phase, always remember, don't kill yourself. Don't stress yourself. Don't destroy your health. Spend quality time with your family. Yeah. Money is not everything. Money is necessary, but not the most important. Understand? So if you can have that understanding, you've got a lot of choice in life. You can do a lot of other things. Yeah. To survive is not difficult. That's why I retired at 40-something. After I handled that project for him, I wrote into my MD, I want to retire. He got a shock. Then he realized, he delayed my resignation. He said, why are you still so young? You got so much potential and you are so good. You're wasting your potential. And all. I said, simple life. And I said, well, my daughter graduated already. They didn't go overseas. I don't need much money to retire. I said, simple life. I'm not like you. You got very high aim and all those things, very ambitious. I want to do the thing that I like to do in life. Adesana. Well, for me, the third phase, 51 to 75, is not guaranteed one, no. You understand not? You don't go and think I will live until 75, no. So I ask myself, my daughter graduated at the age of 21, and my daughter, my son, the second one, 2 more years to graduate, no need to, he don't want to go overseas. I got no more problem. I got enough to pay for their education. And my daughter somehow get scholarship all the way in a private college. And they did so well, both academically, everything. So I reached the pinnacle of my career, then I retired. Then I do what I like to do, share Dhamma and all those things. And that is what life is all about, understand? Why should you allow yourself subject to all the reality of life and existence that the Buddha already taught you and you don't know how to use them? The cause of suffering is what? Craving, desire. Understand not? Wanting more. Understand not? How much is enough? I used to tell people, if you need to work, you work. You understand not? Need to work means what? No, not money. That one is have to work. You got no money, so you have to work, understand not? But he got money. He need to work. He don't have to work, but he need to work. But he don't know how to retire. He say, boring, no. Nobody call me boss anymore, no. My friend all one by one will leave me, But he saw what happened to the others. When you are not in position, nobody look at you. Last time everybody, hamper, everything, They will call you what, tauke, dato, everything. But once you retire, nobody knows you. Understand? Only the true friend know you. Then he say, I need to work. Need to work? No choice lah, you work lah. He said, Bill, when I retire, boring, miserable, I cannot survive. I got nobody to call. And don't know what to do. And he keep on asking me, a few of my classmates, hey, what you do, you retire so early? I say, like that also you want to ask? Do what you love to do. What you mean? Travel? Be sian meh? Chia, they sian me, they got a lot of money. Oh, he said, boring. Oh, boring ah, come to my class ah. He said, don't ask me to meditate. Yeah, he, the moment he closed his eyes, he sleep. Then I teach you, you go and do some charity or do whatever that make you happy. Then he very smart now. He go and become director of various type of company. No need to be stressed already. Just name second because of his experience and all that. So you have to learn how to live your life. It's your life, not mine. Understand? Mine, I already told you how I live. So the second phase is what? You got money, eh? But you got no time. Understand? And your energy is working, working, working. Understand? Then you wait until you retire, only you meditate. A lot of people say, not now, I wait till I retire. Then when it's time to retire, even 60, still cannot. I think I have to go on. Then when are you going to retire? There are a lot of people, you know what happened. The last phase is not sure and they don't know. Then when it comes to the third phase, let's say you make your money, financial freedom, okay? You got a lot of money. You still no time, you know. And energy, of course, you don't have. Understand? So I tell myself, what are the active years that I can, together with my children, have the good life and my wife travel as a family and do the thing we like to do and share the whatever Dhamma. I say, when I retire at 48 years old, I think it's 46 plus, I think, I still got, let's say, until 70. I got 20 years of good life, you know, healthy life, you know. I can travel, I can do what I like, you know. There is life, isn't there? Then if lucky, like Mahathir, live until 93, maintain your lifestyle alert, this is really life. And you know Dhamma got three phases, or not? First phase is what? Pariyati. You always see on your logo or whatever. What is pariyati? Learning of the teaching. Understand not? The learning of the Dhamma, the teaching, as taught by the Buddha. Then, after that, you must put it into? Party. Not go and party, Party is a Pali word. Put the Dhamma into practice, into daily life practice, real life practice. Then the third phase is Pativeda. What is Pativeda? Not realization. You reap the fruit of your hard work. Understand not? So the third phase of Dhamma is the best. When you reap the fruit of your hard work, means you become enlightened. Means you get to live the life of a noble one. Understand not? An enlightened being. And this is your most beautiful phase in your life. Do you know that? No more suffering. Everything is so clear to you. You have right view, right thought, right speech, right action. Right livelihood, the four right effort, then you are fully aware, mindful. Your wisdom is there, your samadhi is there. And you can be a blessing to all. And life is so meaningful, so beautiful. You can live life to the fullest, understand not? You can realize and enjoy the beauty and wonders of life. Do you understand? Life got so much thing to offer, understand not? There is so much beauty. They even have TV program on sight and sound. Ticket to indulgence. What are you doing? Every day, kek sim huan lo. Then, the worst is what? No. Kaki huan lo bo kao. No. As you get old, huan lo about kia, huan lo about soon. Understand? Then, kia sing li be ho se, kao ho kia, u tai chi. This is all wrong thought, worry, understand? Why are you going to worry about life? Life is for you to understand and live it with clarity, with mindfulness, with awareness, with the moment. That's why the Zen say, drinking a cup of tea is meditation, Zazen. You know why or not? You know why or not? Oh, I must have enough time to answer his question, dependent origination. Okay, I finish out this one. When you drink with awareness and mindfulness, what happened to your mind? Calm is correct. You are not only calm. You are not only having the clarity. That action is done with mindfulness, means you don't think. Understand not? When you are mindful and aware, you don't think. Don't think means what? No problem. Correct or not? No fear, no worry, no anxiety. No this and no that. And you are so peaceful inside. Understand? You are fully aware. And you fully experience that tea. Understand not? That clarity of consciousness. That's why this is living life to the fullest. To experience all the beauty and great pristine of nature. That beauty and pristine of that awareness, that consciousness, that really drinking tea. You all never drink tea. Physically you drink. But you think a lot as you drink. You are not mindful. You never really enjoy the tea or experience that consciousness of that tea. Your thought telling you, oh, poor Ahu Lim, or whatever, Cha Wong. You go to restaurant Cha Wong. What tea they give you also you don't know. You don't know how to taste, but you pay for it, understand or not? So a lot of things is not what you think. Okay, coming back to our friend's question, dependent origination. This will help you. Thank you for asking that question that bring about the missing link that I supposed to share with you. Yeah. Okay. Next one. Since you asked that question, I think the 12 link you are very familiar. Paticca Samuppada. What is the first link? Avijja. Avijja paccaya what?
Paccaya
sankara. Okay. Very good. Sankara. Then sankara paccaya. Vijnana. Okay, very good. Vijnanang pachya? Oh, very good. Nama rupang. Nama rupang is correct. Rupa or rupang also correct. Don't worry. Forget about the technicality of the word. Then? Salayatana. The six sense bases. Salayatana. Wow, Jayanta, not bad. You got student who understand all this Pali term. Salayatana. Then?
Vedana.
Then?
Pasat
first lah. Don't be too fast lah. Pasat is contact. Salayatana, paccaya, pasat. Pasat, paccaya, vedana. Vedana paccaya, tangha paccaya, upatan, tangha. Then, no, bawa. The last one, the next one is bawa. This, no, tangha is upadana, then bawa, upadana. Then. No. Bawa first. Becoming. Becoming. Bawa. Then? Of course, the whole mess of suffering. Whole mess of suffering. Whole mess of suffering. What did you learn? What did they tell you? In the text, they always tell you this paticca samuppada is over three life. True or not? Without the three life, you cannot explain. Because of that, they explain three life. You know what they call this or not? Avijja paccaya sankara. Sankara, what do they call? They always use the word karmic volition. Correct or not? Karmic volition. You believe? There is only one aspect. No, the real one is not like that. They say, because of ignorant karmic volition, there is karma. Understand not? Because of karma, there is rebirth consciousness. You understand not? And because of rebirth consciousness, there is a nama rupang, the human being, the five degree of form and mind, or living being. And because of that, this living being has salayatana, senses. And upon contact, feeling arise. Then feeling condition, craving condition, grasping condition, becoming conditioned birth, then arise the whole mess of suffering. But do you understand why I say it's not like that? Because they say this one life, then you take rebirth, then human being here, human being, namarupa, then this lead to death again, and that's then the next life again. If it only occur once over three life span, then why the Buddha teach you? For what? Academic. Dependent origination is every moment, every instant. Understand? Huh? Every moment of sense experience, avijja, paccaya sankhara arise. Because they fail to explain, that's why they have to use this as karmic volition. But why do you need karmic volition? When you meditate, you understand. Why are you ignorant? Ignorant of what? Ego is one of the small things. Ignorant of the noble truth. Ah, very good. So when you are deluded, you have ignorance there, you don't understand the four noble truths, that's why you don't understand life. So what do you think? What do you do? In school, when you don't understand, what did the teacher ask you to do? Go back and? Go back and think about it, like, you're going to ask you to read, understand? So sankhara, I told you, is all your thinking process, understand? Your mental activity, everything that your mind can do, understand? And do you know, mind is an organ. Mind is an organ. This is the mental organ, you understand? You have your five physical organs. This one you know, isn't it? Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, and your bodily tactile. Mind is also an organ. That's why you got six senses. Understand? Not? Mind also can make contact, no? So when you think, what happens? You make contact with the mind. Understand? Not? That's why this mind is thinking. This sankhara is thinking. This is your thinking mind, mundane mind, understand not? And the moment you think, you make contact with the mind. Make contact with mind. So when you make contact with mind, and mind being an organ like the physical experiment, what happened? The mental consciousness come to be. True or not? This is what Vijnanam is. This is mental consciousness. It's not rebirth consciousness. And this one, every moment also it arise. You understand? Seven universal everything. Understand not? Then when it arise, what happened? I already told you, your mind got four aggregates. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnanam. How does the form enter the mind? Through your perception, isn't it? That's why you have your five aggregates, Nama, Rupang. Understand? And this is when you input your content of consciousness. This is pure consciousness. Mental consciousness without its content. The moment you perceive and input that mental aggregate, then your views and your opinion from your memory and your conditioning all went in. That's why the content of consciousness is namarupang. Do you understand? This is the pure consciousness before the content went in. And the content is all your sankhara, nothing else. You understand the five aggregate, huh? The five aggregate, as you know, is rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnanam. And this Vijnanam, they always tell you is what? No. This is the receptacle. Understand not? They always tell you this is the receptacle. Understand not? But this is the consciousness. The pure consciousness that receives the content. And these are the content. These are the content of consciousness. So this content, once go in, it become a thought. So this is a thought. So this become a thought consciousness. Before it become the thought, it is just pure consciousness. When you meditate, you can see. You can be at the moment of sense experience. Upon contact, consciousness arise before the content went in. You can be there. You can be at the moment of feeling. But your mindfulness has to be very stable. You can be even at the moment of perception. It doesn't move. That's why these are called aggregate. One by one, you can be there. Then you can be at the moment of consciousness. Then how the content went in. This is when the content went in and become a thought. Do you know how you create a thought? You have been using thought for so long, since birth until now. Do you know how you create thought? You don't know how you create thought. And you have been living for so long. Then who are you? What are you? Who is living your life? If the thought is not you, like the Buddha said, the five aggregate of form and mind is not you, then who are you? What are you? Who is living your life? I got no more space. You turn it over first. You don't mind, stay back a bit. If you want to leave, you can leave. No problem. Okay. You must understand you got two minds. And what are they?
Mundane.
Ah, very good. What is your mundane mind?
Mundane mind is worldly.
What is worldly mind?
Worldly mind is greed, hatred, and...
No. Be more specific. Your thinking mind. This is your thinking mind. This one, the Buddha say, is dependent originating. This is not your true mind. This is your mundane mind. Thinking mind. The second one is what?
Supramundane
or? Your true mind. Understand? Supramundane or your true mind. And what is your true mind? That's why you all never meditate. The moment you are without thought, your true mind will arise. No, the moment you are without thought, that is your true mind. Can you have a moment without thought? The moment you are without thought, the true mind arises. Can you not think? Yeah, how do you silence? How can you let go when you are not enlightened? You're not enlightened, you cannot let go. All this cutting and feeling, letting go is a delusion. I ask you one question. Who let go? The person who hold have to let go. Clear now. If you have wisdom, you know this is defilement, this is causing your suffering, you don't hold, why must you let go? Understand? The guy who hold want to let go. It's like, you got the money, do charity lah. You think money is unreal, give to me lah. You say, I supposed to practice letting go, no, but I am not the Buddha yet. No. I cannot do that perfection. No, I cannot give you. I need the money. That fellow who is holding is doing the same. But this is something important to him. You know why it's important or not? Let's say this one is red hot, your problem. The reality of life and existence. Okay? This is your problem. Let's say relationship problem, financial problem, health problem, or career problem, or whatever problem. So what does human being do? They worry about that problem, correct? Correct not? Cancer, no. They say, I got 6 months only, you know. So what do you think? You worry, isn't it? Worry is attachment. Understand now? Clinging. Then the Buddhist guy come around. Hey, let go lah. Why you worry so much? You try and see. The fellow say you cheat sin. I'm going to die. You ask me to let go. Don't attach to that death. That death is a reality, you know. Then what are you going to do? You have to tell him this is not the way to deal with life. Understand now? The Buddha said there is this noble truth. First noble truth, reality. But he didn't say you have to suffer, no. He said the person who suffers is because he doesn't know the teaching. He attached, he cling, he hold. He think this body is him. Understand? That's why he suffer. He fear what? He fear death. He think he will die. He fear getting old, getting sick and die. That is the delusion. Then the other one that doesn't suffer, he understand. Like the Buddha finally under the Bodhi tree, he knew. Old age, sickness and death belongs to the physical body, the karmically conditioned form and mind. And that segmented life of his is not real. It's impermanent. It is non-self. That's why with that, he awakened. He's not worried. He used this as a vehicle, the functional body of the Buddha to teach, Nimanakaya. You understand? So, you have to do it the same way. If you know this is burning you and tormenting you, there is red hot, correct or not? What must you do? The natural thing, don't say let go, no. But the natural thing is, it's burning me, tormenting me, why must I hold? Understand or not? With that, no need to say wisdom, understand? With that little understanding, there is burning me and tormenting me, I will not hold that. So I will leave it there. Then what happened? The problem is still there, isn't it? I haven't solved it, isn't it? But now I'm not holding, no. I'm not being burned and tormented, no. So I have clarity of mind. Then I ask, what happened? What am I doing? Why must I arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety? This will not help me, understand now? Why can't I look at it objectively? What actually happened? Then you refer to the teaching, the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has already explained to all the monks, including yourself. And what is it? We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our, and we are what we are because of. So this is due to karma. Last time you did to people, now people do to you. Fair or not? So when you understand that, then you are at peace. You don't blame. You don't get angry. You don't react. Then with that clarity of mind, when you are at peace, you ask yourself, how can I resolve this amicably so that nobody suffer anymore, so that no more karmic negativity? And how to resolve this amicably? You have to apply Noble Eightfold Path, understand or not? Noble Eightfold Path is with right view, I know it's karma, I do what I need to do. If I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. If I need to repent and follow the advice of the Buddha not to do this foolish thing and heedless thing anymore, I do. Then I cultivate the Dhamma. I attend Dhamma class. I listen to Dhamma. I straighten my view. I develop yoniso manasikara, means wise attention at the moment of sense experience. I do the first turning, second turning, wisdom. Suttamaya panya and cittamaya panya. Then after that, I cultivate daily mindfulness until very stable. Then I can develop sense restraint. Then I can have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Because when I put it to test, the Dhamma stand up to investigation. So as I listen to the Dhamma, I straighten my view. Then I develop the faith. Then I cultivate the initial wisdom, which is yoniso manasikara. Then I cultivate daily mindfulness. And with this, I can have sense restraint. Then I can be at peace. Then I can straighten my view and reverse all this. So Noble Eightfold Path is incapable of negativity. So you will not cause any karmic. So when you accept, you arise the right thought to talk to people nicely, to resolve it amicably. You arise the right speech, right action, and the right way to live your life. Change over. Don't become like before. This is how you solve your problem. And there is no such thing as a problem as far as I'm concerned. It's only a problem when you perceive it with fear and negativity. Because it's a reality. The Buddha said whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind, and many karma. So if I accept this, I'm at peace. Understand now? This is a reality, the first noble truth. You understand? Not only you are subject to it, everybody who goes through life is subject to it. So why can't you understand this and move? This is how you move. So if, let's say, health problem, cancer, if I need to go for second opinion, I go for second opinion. Understand now? If I confirm this is correct, then I know this is the body's way of telling me that I have lived my life wrongly. I have subject this body to too much, body and mind to too much stress. Not enough rest. I am not disciplined in my diet. I didn't do the correct thing. I did all the wrong thing. That's how I ended up like that. So to reverse this, I need to do what I need to do. Ask for forgiveness. Ask. Change your lifestyle. Change your diet. Have good mind state. Then you will recover. Understand? Then listen to Dhamma, cultivate the 10 meritorious actions. When you attend this class, you almost do everything. Dana, sila, bhavana, you can do that. You offer dana almost very often. I was told Malacca people, dana queen. Sila, you keep, you have your merits. You meditate, you have your merit. Then you listen to Dhamma, you have your merit. You straighten your view, you have your merit. And so then you share merit, you transfer merit. Then you provide service, help out in the center and others things. Then you rejoice, 10 meritorious actions. Then after that, you make aspiration. That's why the Buddha only teach you one, towards the end, Imina Punyang Kamena. What is that? By the power of the Punya, your merits, may it arise the causes and condition for you to avoid the foolish and meet out with the wise, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. You always make this type of aspiration only. Why can't you invoke it to solve your problem? Help people. By the power of whatever merits that this nature of mine have cultivated since I understand this teaching, may arise the causes and conditions for me to recover to good health so that I can gain back my precious life again to develop this cultivation and all those things. You can apply it to your loved one too, your friend or whoever. And this is how you apply the Dhamma. Understand? So coming back to the 12 link, just now didn't finish. I finished this every end. Oh, yo. 10, 20, 20. No, because you only got one lesson. So I try to give you whatever the condition allow. Yeah, the question was correct. So now you understand. The moment this mental consciousness, upon contact of mind, the mind is an organ, it also arises the mental consciousness. Understand? Your mind becomes conscious. That's how the thinking starts. Understand? Then this one initially is just the pure consciousness before the content go in. Like the light bulb, just like up. That's why the Buddha say, in the seeing is only the no one to see. Understand? In the hearing is only the hearing consciousness. It's the consciousness. Like the light bulb just flashes up. That is before you input the content. Understand? But the moment your memory comes in, the views, your opinion and your conditioning, your religious belief or your Dhamma knowledge come in, you input the content straight away. Then you try to say, oh, the Abhidhamma book say this. The Buddha say this. But this is what your thought tell you, no. The Buddha never say this, no. The Abhidhamma also never say this. You don't understand the Abhidhamma and the Buddha's teaching. That's why you say the Abhidhamma say this. Then you say the Buddha say this. Cut at contact. Means don't arise the craving. Cut at feeling. Hey, you go and cut. You go and suppress your feeling. You won't work, I tell you. It's straight away without yoniso manasikara, I tell you. Feeling straight away become craving. Straight away. Without yoniso manasikara. Straight away. Straight away. Sorry. Straight away happen. So here is without yoniso manasikara. straight away. Yeah? This thing. Feeling will become craving. You cannot stop. Then if you are not mindful, it will become grasping. You know what is the difference between this, this one and this one and this one? No. Are you sure? Explain to me. What is craving? Tanha.
Craving is just like desire.
Okay. Okay.
Tanha is very strong.
Wow. Okay. Then what is this?
Power is then becoming.
Become what? This is what you are taught by the textbook. You know what is craving or not? They got three types of craving, isn't it? This is either karma tanha, bhava tanha, or vibhava tanha. It depends on which one. Understand? Then this one is not to say nge nge ai. Upadan is grasping. You know what is grasping? I give you an example when you understand. Let's say there is a guy. There's a guy, maybe very, very lustful. When he saw this lady pass by wearing very, like, sexily, miniskirt and all those things, then he go and fantasize, understand? So there is craving, isn't it? Correct now. Upon contact, feeling arise. Feeling condition, craving, isn't it? That craving is the lust, understand? Understand? The lust. So when this craving arise, he continue to think, it will condition what? He will grasp at that craving, no? Like you say, Then what he do? He become that lustful person, understand? No? This becoming, he become that lustful person. Then he take birth. You think he really go for rebirth? He take birth as that person who commit the act, understand? The rapist. This is what birth is all about. He become the rapist, understand?
At the present life itself,
every moment, what present life? You know, every moment you talk to me, this dependent orientation keep on running, understand? But you must understand this is multidimensional. You say, okay, I don't think you understand. Yeah, multidimensional means what? It's not a single dimension. But the Buddha knows that it's very difficult for people to understand. That's why he make it very simple, single dimensional. You know what is multidimensional or not? Sometimes it doesn't end one, the dwelling. Understand or not? I explain to you why it doesn't end. When you see something, what happens? Because you got ignorance, isn't it? Then you go and think. After you think, what happens? The consciousness arises. Yeah? Then you input the content. Whether lustful or anger or fear, up to you. Understand? Then suddenly somebody call you. Then the consciousness become hearing. Understand? That's why stop here. Understand? But if it's not important, you will go back and think again. Then you continue. Understand? But what you don't understand is, upon contact, this one is where you all miss out. This is multidimensional. This is the first link actually here. Why? Ignorant contact. Understand? Ignorant contact will condition wrong thought. Understand? Wrong thinking. Because there is ignorant, avijja. Ignorant contact. Actually, contact happened here. The seven universal. These are all part of the seven universal that I shared with you. They arise simultaneously. Just now the sister read somewhere was correct. They arise simultaneously. And this is so fast. My student tell me, Brentio, if you don't explain, I cannot understand. But it happened so fast. He said, the moment before you can even have contact, straight away, all this gone already. Understand? Without a stable mindfulness, you cannot. That's why in the Avijja Sutta, he said, you have to understand, just now, I didn't finish, I finished this one. He said, because you don't have wisdom, you have Avijja, And the new treatment for ignorance is the five mental hindrance. Remember? Yeah. And this five mental hindrance is because you don't have the five spiritual counting. Yeah. And the new treatment for this five mental hindrance, you know what is here, right? What fit this five mental hindrance? The three way of wrong conduct. Action, speech, and thought. Three way of wrong conduct. You have the evil root because you are deluded, ignorant. Yeah. And the three way of wrong conduct come about because you don't have sense restraint. You understand? And the reason why you don't have sense restraint is because you don't have daily mindfulness. And the reason why you cannot have daily mindfulness is because you don't have yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. 1A missing, you didn't tell me. And the whole cycle continue. And the lack of this, what they call yoniso manasikara, is where you don't have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. And the reason why you don't have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, because you don't listen to the true Dhamma, the correct Dhamma. Like I explained to you who the Buddha is and how special a being he is and how wonderful a teaching he is, he has. Yeah. And the reason for not listening to the Dhamma is what? You know what the Buddha put there? Not having Dhamma friends. Understand? That's why you got Dhamma friend, they advise you to come and listen. Yeah. So the enlightenment cycle start the other way. Oh, 10:30, exactly my class end. So your clock is 2-3 minutes fast. But that one matched my wife's handphone. So that is the alarm she always gave me. She is my wife, by the way. So you see, he said, the Buddha said, when you have Dhamma friends, you will have condition to listen to the Dhamma. True or not?
Yes.
When you listen to the true Dhamma, you will have condition to straighten your view. True or not?
Yes.
Correct, isn't it? Then you will develop the faith, isn't it? True or not?
Yes.
Then when you have the faith, you will develop the wisdom, the initial wisdom, yoniso manasika. You know how you develop the wisdom or not? There are three types of wisdom. You turn one more page. Today maybe give you all everything. Very good. Sutamaya Panya. This is first turning wisdom. First turning wisdom. Somebody help me to write faster. Who want to come? Sutta Maya Panya. I must say all right. Otherwise, I can't finish. You know what is sutta, right? You know what is panya, right? Wisdom born of listening the sutta. So when you listen to the Dhamma, you are listening to the proclamation of the Buddha's teaching. That's why you are listening to all the sutta that I share. The Four Noble Truths, the Essential Dhamma, and all those things. So this is called Sutamaya Panya. First turning means listening. If you listen and you awaken, you will develop Sutamaya Panya. You understand? So this is how Kondanya, before the first sermon finished, Dhammacakkappavattana finished, he became a Sotapan because he cultivated from the past. So first turning wisdom is not easy to get enlightened. But this one, through hearing, means you must have done your homework before. Understand? So second turning is what? Not fall in love. This one really cinta. No? This really the Malay word. No? Maya Panya. You know what is the meaning or not? You know what is the second turning or not? The first turning, the Buddha just proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. So just now I finished second noble truth, craving. The third noble truth is very easy. The Buddha say, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, which is the cessation of form and mind, can be realized in the here and the now. So that gives you confidence. Understand or not? You understand or not? That's why it calls cessation, nirodha. Okay? So, suffering need not be. You will have a lot of joy in it. I don't have to suffer now with this teaching. So you will go all out and cultivate his teaching. Then the fourth noble truth is, he not only tell you enlightenment is possible, he even tell you that there is a path that will lead to the enlightenment. And this is the Noble Eightfold Path. And you cultivate this, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is enlightenment. That's why this is the meditation. Whatever meditation you do, it doesn't lead you back to the Noble Eightfold Path. This is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You go and focus, do all the jhana without all the other Noble Eightfold Path factor. That is not the enlightenment that the Buddha is talking about. You can go and assume or think that there is enlightenment. That is just an experience in meditation. Then the second turning is like that. The Buddha said, under the second turning is it, first, there is a first noble truth of dukkha. Then under second turning is it, this first noble truth of dukkha, or suffering, is to be understood. All the four noble truths he emphasizes differently. So you need to reflect, contemplate and inquire. Why did the Buddha say that? Why did he say this noble truth of suffering, which is the reality of life and existence, is to be understood? How can I understand it? You never inquire. This is the wisdom born of reflection, contemplation on the truth that the Buddha has proclaimed. So you follow under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the inquiry that he gives to you. Yeah, he said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Why? You tell me why. Why must you understand? If you don't even know what dukkha is, what is going to happen to you? You suffer without knowing you are suffering. Yeah? You still think you are a hero. Understand? You still say, that guy make me angry. Understand? Because he didn't support me. That's why I become like that. No, you blame people. Understand? Of course, it's wrong with you and all those, but you blame people. Means what? You don't know why you have to understand dukkha. When you understand what dukkha is, the eight reality, means you know this lead to suffering. This is suffering. Your life, you still want to go into it or not? You will never allow yourself to become afflicted, isn't that miserable? Yeah. I ask you one question. If you hold the life destiny, means you hold the key to your own life destiny, correct or not? To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice, true or not? Will you choose to be miserable or afflicted? You won't, isn't it? Then why is the world full of suffering beings? You mean they don't know how to choose? They are so stupid. Choose to be happy, you think easier. Without this teaching, you cannot choose. Understand? Delusion choose. You know what is delusion choose? Your wrong view, your ignorant choose. You got no choice at all. You only have a choice when you are aware of how you become deluded, how delusion conditions suffering, how you become miserable, how fear arise, how suffering arise. Not until you are mindful to see all this, you will never wake up, I tell you. That's why you don't know how to choose. That's why you need to listen to the Dhamma to understand, to choose. So when you choose to be happy. Then you ask yourself, why am I not happy? Well, I don't know this teaching. That's why pariyati go into cultivation, pati-pati. Otherwise it remains as knowledge. You cannot solve your problem. You cannot do anything. So when you listen to the Dhamma, you reflect and you contemplate, and I know why the Buddha say this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Because now I go through again. Birth is suffering. Why birth is suffering? Because to us, a lot of people, birth means mua gui, you know, usun no. Why suffering? Have you all really gone into it? What happened if the baby got complication? Premature birth and all those things. Then sometimes the mother got complication. The doctor come out and tell you, you have to make a choice. Either you save the child or you save their wife. Is that suffering? That is suffering, isn't it? Then when the baby born deformed, sick, and having health problem. That's why birth is suffering. And the other aspect of birth is suffering is the moment the baby is conceived, you ask all the mother, you think you have good life? Especially first birth. You don't know what is happening. Then your body out of shape. Walk also have to be careful. You scared you fall. Then after the delivery that time, before the delivery, you know how painful or not? And during confinement, the vomit, the first few months. They call what?
Nausea.
They are vomiting and all that. Then sometimes, the baby don't know how many months, they kick you. Then the boy come out. Very interesting. Then after that, you have to face the actual thing. Then the water bag burst. You panic, you think baby coming out. But actually not yet, it's still many hours to go. That's why you got time to go hospital. Don't ask me how I know. Because my wife delivered too, that's why I know. That's why I make it a point to understand all this. Then, when you reflect and condemn, you realize birth is full of suffering. When you don't have the understanding. But when you have good birth, can enjoy the newborn baby, be a father, be a mother, and be a grandpa, grandmother. Count your good blessing, understand? Count your good karma, understand? You think everybody is so blessed. That's why have contentment, have joy. And feel that you are blessed, understand? This is life, understand? Live it. But you are never, you're a sailor, another baby, got to feed, got to educate. Oversee education, how much? Go and calculate that bill. You worry about life, understand? Future thing not happen, now you already do all this. That's what heedlessness is all about. You should have joy. You bring somebody to this earth. You give them life, and they are your newborn baby. Love them, care for them, provide for them, sacrifice for them. Because this is your karma, your good inheritance. Later on, you will have parents that will give birth to proper birth baby. Care for you, love you, provide for you, sacrifice for you. Do you want that? You want that, you better do your duty towards your children. Understand? Don't every time get angry. Everything you do, the Buddha says, you reap what you sow, you cannot back, I tell you. So, don't play a fool with karma. So when you understand, then the next inquiry is what? When I understand what suffering is, I will never allow it to happen to me. Yeah, this is my life, understand not? Then, how can I really understand what suffering is? The Buddha said, you have to reflect and contemplate. So, suffering is to be understood. So, when you say you have understood suffering, means what? You understand the cause of suffering. Understand that? You not only understand suffering, it means you understand the cause of suffering. You also understand how suffering can end, the third noble truth. You also know how you can cultivate noble eightfold path to end suffering. That's why the three turning, the third turning of the first noble truth is, this noble truth of dukkha has already been understood. Means the third turning wisdom is wisdom born of bhavana. Bhavana is meditation. So bhavana means you have to do the actual meditation. Bhavana, maya, anya. So this one is very important. This one is wisdom born of bhavana, the meditative training. So under Avijja Sutta, you're supposed to do these first two. These are initial wisdom. Initial wisdom. Initial wisdom. But this is not penetrative enough, not powerful enough. So these two are initial wisdom, leading to yoniso manasikara. So what you have done is listening to the Dhamma, the first turning wisdom you're supposed to have, but because you didn't listen to the true Dhamma, that's why you haven't got it. Understand? So this one, if you have listened to the true Dhamma, you will have it. Sutamaya Panya. Then easier for you to reflect and contemplate. So this one is reflect and contemplate. Reflect and contemplate. When you reflect and contemplate into the teaching, what happens? Huh? You stabilize your understanding, isn't it? Whatever you have heard, if you don't reflect on it, contemplate on it, like just now I say, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then you reflect through life. What is birth? Yeah, you have given birth before, isn't it? Even I didn't give birth to baby, I saw what happened to my brother, sister, and what my mother told me and what my wife went through. That's why I observed. I was aware. That's why I learned all this. So when you learn, you develop deeper understanding of dukkha. Then you can expand on the other seven. There are eight. So just now I finished at seven. Number eight is, you know what is the final reality or not? Number eight. It's about meditation. That's why I didn't want to tell you. The Buddha finally summarized all of suffering. He said, in short, it's your grasping and clinging to the five aggregate of dukkha, the upadana khanda that I call suffering, understand not? Due to your ignorance. So it's the grasping and clinging to the five aggregate of form and mind, upadana khandas, that I call suffering or dukkha. And that one you have to meditate. Yeah, it's about the five aggregate of form and mind. So with this, you will come to understand the initial wisdom is needed for the Avijja Sutta. So without the initial wisdom, just now I said listening to the Dhamma. Okay? You must have Dhamma friend, listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, then have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then you will be able to develop the Yoniso Manasikara. Then you cultivate daily mindfulness so that you are mindful, you are aware, you are heedful, you can see your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then from there, you can exercise sense restraint. Means at the moment of sense experience, because of your initial wisdom, you will not stir like before. Understand? You will not act according to your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, and all those things. And your mind can be at peace. That's how you have the sense restraint. Then when you have sense restraint, you can apply the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought and all those things. And because of that, you can arise the three way of right conduct. After you can have that, only you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Then when you are on the right path, cultivating the four foundation of mindfulness, you will know. Because the seven factors keep on arising. So under seven stages of purification, purification of path and non-path, you will know. Non-path lead to deviation, delusion. Path lead to enlightenment factor. So you cultivate and you say you already enlightened, but the enlightenment factor are not there. Then what type of enlightenment? I don't know. You go and check. What are the seven factors of enlightenment? You know, isn't it? First one is what? Sati. Then Dhamma investigation. Understand? That one? No. Virya. Then? You just answer. Piti. Then? You know what is pasati. Are you sure? Tranquility or what? That's why you're not sure. Then how can you cultivate? Then after that, samadhi. Then what is upeka? What is upeka? You only know equanimity. Equanimity got two types, you know. One is fourth jhana, also equanimity. And that's not now, upeka. But the real enlightenment factor is the upeka. You have to go. Don't worry. Sorry for keeping you. okay. Sorry about that. Thank you for telling us. Sadhu. I think after this we end. No more. Okay, the last factor of enlightenment is upeka, born of wisdom. Not born of concentration, jhana, and all things. Wisdom. So how does the seven factor enlightenment happen? When this enlightenment factor or sati arise, you can use it to investigate the Dhamma. Understand not? When it stand up to investigation, what happened? Your faith become very strong. True or not? Yeah. Huh? So when your faith become very strong, it will drive you to cultivate, isn't it? That's why virya come about. You understand not? You know what is virya or not? The spiritual zeal, not effort. effort, right effort is kama wayama. It's another Pali word. Understand or not? Virya is spiritual zeal, energy. Understand or not? Spiritual intensity, tenacity to cultivate. Because after your faith become very strong, because you investigate Dhamma, you stand up to investigation, it will drive you to cultivate. This is the spiritual zeal, tenacity, Z-E-A-L. You understand? Then you will definitely cultivate it. Yeah? Then after you cultivate, your sati will become stable. Yeah? That's how with sati you experience piti. That piti you have to relax into it and silent. If you go and do jhana, you will experience sukhang, which is not the enlightenment factor. Then you will experience one-pointedness of mind, also not enlightenment factor. That's why the five jhanic factor, only piti is enlightenment factor. Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukhang, and ekagata, the other four, are not enlightenment factor. You have to be careful. That's why you go into jhana, you will do the wrong thing. It's not to say you cannot do. You develop the jhana, then come out of it, and develop daily mindfulness. You will be able to become enlightened, no problem. Like what the Buddha did. Understand? After he come out of the jhana, he started to eat again. Then he started to develop the meditation according to what he has done before. Then he realized the truth. Then what happened is, after you experience piti, you continue to relax and silent. Even you go through sukhang and all those things, you continue to relax and silent until your mind becomes very quiet, still. You all do anapanasati or rising falling? Huh? Anapanasati. You know how to do anapanasati, right? Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. You understand that? So when you do until your breath becomes very quiet, very still, very subtle, what do? Like no more breath. What do? Ah, you haven't reached that stage. Then you cannot understand pasati. Initially, your anapanasati, when you get a momentum, you will become very calm. You experience piti. Then you experience joy. Then you will experience sukhang. Then you can even go into absorption, continuous mindfulness. Your mind becomes very calm. A lot of people trapped inside there, never come out. You're supposed to relax into every mind state and maintain awareness. Sati. Sati is an enlightenment factor. Not concentration, understand? Not samatha. Samatha will bring you something else. So you relax into it and allow the piti to slowly, slowly become more refined until it passes by sukhang. Then it will become very quiet and very still until your breath got no more breathing. Initially, you will develop long breath. You will go into absorption. Like the breath is very clear to you. Everything is so calm. The absorption absorbs your mind until you become very still. That one is a conditioned state. That is apana samadhi already. Too deep already. You're supposed to relax it out silent. Upachara samadhi. Just aware. Then this mind on its own, without concentration, without energy, become quiet. Still. Then this mind enters sati. Don't do anything. Just stay with the silent mind. Stay with the subtle breathing. Even you think there is no breathing, don't worry. You won't die. Understand? A lot of people panic, no breath. I will die. That is the thought telling you. Understand? So you just relax and silent. And you do that, not long. You know what happened? Your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, you will be surprised. The subtle breathing come back to you, like very clear to you again. Then you can maintain the awareness inside there. Then everywhere you locate this mind is aware. Then this mind, because it's aware, when you come out of the mind, the form of meditation, you realize all of a sudden you are mindful of all your movement, your activity. Well, your mind has entered sati. Then if you are aware, every moment of hearing is in sati. Every moment of seeing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, everything is in sati. The movement of thought process also. That's how your mindfulness becomes very stable. You're supposed to do until that. And pasati is correct. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. That is your silent mind. That is your true mind. This is what I want to tell you. The moment you are without thought, the true mind arises. That's why only the true mind can awaken. You know what is thinking or not? Thinking is your mundane mind. It's your thought. Time related. But the Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko means what? Timeless. Beyond thought. Beyond time. So how can you use the thinking mind to realize the timeless? Understand or not? The enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond time. How can you use thought to meditate? Thought-based meditation will not bring about result. You have to realize the silent mind. And to realize this, your spiritual faculty must be there. Your initial wisdom must be there. That's why a lot of these things were not taught to you because people don't understand and people don't realize it. But when you understand, you realize it, you know it's different. That's why I share different. I teach different. Book also never write. But I dare to tell you, this is what it is. Why? Because this nature has gone through. So, a lot of things you have to find out yourself. Don't have to believe anybody. And the reason why nowadays the Dhamma cannot really penetrate the living being is because the true teaching is missing. You realize or not? You will have a lot of doubt, I understand, because your conditioning is so strong. And a lot of people tell me why. They say, "Brother Teo, you mean all those monks full time also they cannot understand? You part time you can understand." No, it's from the past. The past. I came. This segment of my life, I have my past. Otherwise, I cannot understand all this. Nobody taught me. So how can I understand? How can I share with you things that I never learned this life? It's because when I connect, I inherit. I like the Buddha underneath the Bodhi tree. All the understanding come back to him via his perfection. That's how all these are possible. Okay, better end. No more questions. We have to share Mary and transfer Mary. Anyway, thank you so much for sadhu. For giving us the condition to be with you. And tonight, I think, is meant to be. This teaching want to come out already. So it's recorded. Don't worry. Sure, recorded. I don't know, Jayanta's face different. Chances is recorded. Yeah, I trust my man. So far, no mistake from him. Okay? So we do the sharing of merit, the transfer of merit, then we can make your aspiration. Akasata Chubomata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditva Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Tawata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbede Anumodantu Sampati Siddhya Idang Vinyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Vinyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Iminang Vinyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Imina Punyang Kamena Mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa divana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Gantis, Bansasama. Are you impressed? Very impressed, right?
Yeah.
Because what I met Brother Teo 15 years ago, this is still like that. Yeah. So impressive. Yeah, I really, really felt it. I hope you all had a wholesome
as I said just now in the WhatsApp, more wholesome and meaningful Dharma sharing. Yeah. And with this, also I put my palms together to thank Baratio, really to take this opportunity to come to our Alakupi Center and to share the Dharma with us. Yeah. As you know, I mean, as Brother said just now, you see what's in front of you. Yeah. So we are not there, but we are half cup, Father.
Not far.
Yeah.
You have a faith very easy. Though.
Yeah.
The Buddha Pasana is there. Give me the mic.
That one you have to wait for condition. I also don't know when I will come up. So what is important is the website is there. Just now, what was I trying to tell you? The Buddha Sasana is there. It's very easy. You know why? The true teaching are around, but you need to meet the right one. You know why? Because when this is karmic, understand? When you promote the wrong teaching, study the wrong teaching, you take people to Holland. What happened when you come, you receive the wrong teaching? Well, you don't know. You cannot blame anybody. This was your delusion. Because you are too enthusiastic to teach those type of teaching. That's why I say, before you are ready, try not to teach. You want to teach, can. Share with a sincere mind. Based on my understanding, this is what I understand. So that you make mistake, no karmic effect, understand? You upfront tell people. But if you are not sure, you go and promote and you say this is sure Nibbana, then you will end up with a karmic. Because this is what you lead people to. You lead people astray, you come, you will have that condition. Because my nature knew. Why I dislike karma, I also exposed to all those things that you all went through. The Burmese tradition, everything. But funny, you know, I cannot follow that type of teaching. And my nature know what to do. That's why I meditate myself. I discover and understand all this through my own understanding. Of course I got teacher. I got guide. But they don't really teach me. They only share with me their experience and talk to me on certain truth. So if you have faith, if you are willing to commit yourself diligently, sincerely, with the faith, then you will walk the path successfully. You know why? For you to have such condition to listen to this type of Dhamma, you have your parami from your past. Otherwise, you won't meet me. Then, the other important point, have an open mind. Have an open mind. Don't go and based on your views and opinion. I understand some of you because you have been too long in this Buddhist teaching. It's very difficult to change your acceptance of what you have been doing. Where you won't believe that all these things can be. I won't say wrong. Not explained to you. Understand? And you do without understanding and you are gullible. The best check is what? Did you progress? Do you improve? Have your character, personality improved? Have you become a better person? Do you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path? That is the best check. You still don't have right view. You don't know how to arrive right thought, right speech, right. You are so crude in the way you communicate with people, talk to people, and do your things. You are still so heedless. Then please check your cultivation. But if you have improved, then you are on the right path. Understand? So it's very easy. Like the Buddha's advice to the Kalamas. Ask two questions. If I follow the advice, does it harm me? Does it harm others? It doesn't harm you, harm others. What have you got to lose? Understand? Have an open mind. Like I say, when your boss supposed to reward you because you are good, what have you got to lose? Ask. Understand? The worst case answer is what? No. Understand? What have you got to lose? So ask. So this one, have an open mind. Use whatever that is suitable, beneficial to you, to cultivate. Don't worry about what you have learned in the past. Which monk tell you, which book write. Forget about it. Why can't you investigate it, like the Buddha said? If I follow what Brother Teo teach, does it harm me? Does it harm others? Go and check. Understand? If it doesn't harm you, doesn't harm other, why have you got to lose? At the most, some time, understand? But it won't take you to Holland, understand? Understand? You have everything to gain, you got nothing to lose. So this is how you check. Well, I understand it's not easy to give this type of teaching. I didn't want to come out and share for 15 years. So. You know who finally got me or not? Yun Chan. She came in the year 2004 and requested 3 times. I rejected her. I said, no, don't worry. I said, the condition was... Then the 3rd time, inside told me something. Then I gave 3 conditions for sharing. I said, it's not a one-way traffic. We have this Dhamma sharing. Sharing means what? I respect you for what you are. You respect me for what I am. Correct or not? It's all in the website. The 2nd condition is no right, no wrong. Understand or not? We are not here to argue. Understand or not? We are here to develop understanding of the Dhamma. So whatever that can benefit you, the third condition, use it. If you cannot understand, have an open mind. Whatever you are not sure, leave it behind. Understand? Now then, together, we learn. We are Dhamma friends. You walk the path of Dhamma. They also walk the path of Dhamma. Yeah. Then I share what I understand. That's it. So don't go and argue. The moment you come up with right and wrong, you get into trouble. Because before you become enlightened, your thought is very divisive. Your thought is very negative. Always remember that. Whatever that you arise, the thought is always wrong thought before you are enlightened. So when you use thought, that is the danger. So just cultivate. Don't try to know. Have an open mind. And when you are ready, when you understand, the Dhamma will unfold. Then you have a lot of joy. Then no need to ask questions anymore. All your questions is self-answered. Because you will understand them. I always tell my Kayamita, the answer is all in you. We are within your own phantom length body, like the Buddha said, along with mindfulness, perception, and thought process. He proclaimed the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. That is the 4 Noble Truths. So have faith, sincere, diligently, just cultivate. And everything will fall into place. Okay?
So much, Brother Teo. I'd like to represent the committees of our Kabuli Center to sincerely invite Brother Teo. If you really have time or you pass by Melaka, please remember. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, don't worry. We will arrange ourselves.
Yeah.
We only bring some books.
Yeah.
I didn't know from us we didn't have the other 2 books. The seminar book and the Heart Sutra. Go to the website, look for the seminar book and the Heart Sutra. The Bangkok seminar.
Okay, so like to...
All the teachings, all inside there, very good. Then the cultivating the Bodhisattva way is later for people who want to know the Bodhisattva way.
I'd like to thank my calamitas for arranging, Brother Teo to come and to to accept my invitation, to have this Dhamma sharing. So I say a big sadhu to you all. Thank you so much. Yeah, may you all have a safe journey tomorrow to go back, and till we meet again, our Kabuli Center will be our 2nd home. Okay, with this, we'd like to invite my mom, the Vice Chair Lady of our Kabuli Center, to give a small token of appreciation. I mean, the yellow bag, please. This is a small token.
They have a token of appreciation. So they normally give me ang bao.
say I don't need power, I don't need back to the solution box. So you must not think that it's like they give to me, then I don't need back to the solution box. Cancel off. It's not cancel off. The merge is already there. My nature is it. Then my nature offers that so that you all can use it for the happy of the many. So that there is both ways. That's why giving is a paramount and also when you give, you receive. If you don't give, you don't receive. That's why we also have something for you. But this is Dhamma book, don't worry. Don't listen to me. Then there is a Buddha Rupa for that. Never mind, you can Pak Masuri and Tio, come. They help me a lot. Brother Tio, you offer the image. This is for your center. That whole set of books is for Jayasta and the library. So that you can recall to mind that I came here before. So this is not before modern anything. There are a lot of people they want to go to the This is for you to develop the faith. This one is made of canvas. Somebody donated to us. He donated a lot. One of the very a lot of books.
Anything?
Sorry. This Buddha Rupang is made of canvas. Somebody donated to us. During my birthday, gathering a cremation, she donated a few hundred copies. Then we distribute to Kayamita. Then sometimes we auction to raise Kayamita fund for our activity and all things. Then we also give to all the center that we attend. They invited us and other things. Even Cameron Highland, we got our annual retreat, 9 days retreat, meditation retreat. We also gave one to the temple in Cameron Highland, Princhang. Yeah. So I rejoice. The books come. Come, Jayanta, you better receive. You better receive. Come, you also should have. Jayanta, Jayanta, come. Come. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Oh, very good. I didn't know the Heart Sutta is here. So you all don't worry, the Heart Sutta is here. All the thing I share with you tonight is all there. It's all there. But you have to read through, it's very thick. Because this Heart Sutta was over 15 months I delivered. Then they compiled the short note and I edited it. Okay, no problem. Yeah, you should for memory to enhance your faith. At least you can tell people Brother Teo came to your center. Sadhu. What is it? Okay. Sadhu. Suyan. Sadhu. Okay. Ask my wife to come. You offer it to my wife. Never mind, I receive first. Don't worry, I receive first. Okay, then you offer it to my wife. You give it to my wife. Sadhu. Suyan. So Tuesday class, I get it so. You pass to Pak Masuri lah itu, Gula Melaka. Okay, thank you so much. Sadhu to you all too. How you all want to have the group photo? I should sit further in front so that at the back people can stand.